Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
All right. I like the beat. It's sounding all right. I like the beat. It's sounding all right. Everybody get on the floor tonight. Grab somebody if they on your left or your right. Just make sure that it feel tight. Gotta clean it up a little bit. We'll talk doo-doo instead of talking. Everybody knows I can do it without cussing. Everybody knows because my name is Dustin. Everybody knows that these flows be bussin'. Everybody knows that's how I got in my trustin'. Hey, in the flow, everybody know that I got to go. Because even though I said this is easy, it's really hard for me to be clean.
It ain't that hard to be clean when you're looking this good. You can never be mean. Yeah, we always step on the scene, rapping like Diddy, cause it always gotta lean. Cause I'm trying to catch the beat, throw it right back, cause I feel the heat.
Hey.
Do another wave and you ride the beat.
Hey.
Ride the beat with your feet.
Hey.
Do it like Lil
Waves
Mama.
Don't lie. Let me crash it for a moment. Yeah. Waves don't lie or die. Waves don't die. Let me crash it for the moment. Chris Brown, Christopher Maurice Brown, you sang. If you ain't never did nothing else, you sang on
you
Waves on that Life of Pablo album.
Christopher
I'm just
Maurice,
gonna say it.
He be singing.
Oh, yes.
He be singing.
That's why it's so
He's
heartbreaking. Right.
But,
that's why it's so heartbreaking.
But it is very hard to talk about him knowing that it came
you
full
know you
circle.
Can't.
Yeah,
he has a new song. I saw a video.
And he on Dave East's new project, which I've been listening to.
Dave
on
East. Oh shit!
Shout out to Dave East.
Shout out to
Bay
you.
East.
That album is good.
It's amazing. I've listened to it on repeat. Paranoia.
It's
Paranoia.
And the song with Chris Brown is the jam. The song with Nas, when Nas is simply being an OG on the record. The fact that Nas ain't even rapping, he's just like, you got a young, like,
yes.
Just giving him like his
Passing
props.
Him the torch.
Shout out to his daughter with her beautiful voice.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant Dave East's daughter.
Who, Nas' yeah. daughter, Destiny?
Oh, no,
no
Dave
East. He's talking
daughter.
About Dave East's
oh,
daughter, yeah.
She's so cute.
She is.
Remember the day
yes.
I had my flight and I told y'all he sat next to me?
Yes.
When he came yes. down that aisle, I was in my mind, I was like, he's not going to sit next to me. He can't sit next to me. There he goes sitting next to me. I wanted to die. I was like, God, you would do this. A whole flight. It was headed to L.A. too, so it was a long-ass flight. Heart rate on 89.
God was like, oh.
Okay.
Right. Shit.
Because this show sounds like a good time. So, hey, everybody. Welcome to the friend zone.
Oh, yeah. Hey, y'all. Welcome yeah. to the friend zone.
That's right. Your weekly look at all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental stumbling over your goddamn words, mental hygiene. Because who in the hell would like a musty brain? I
who
know it would
hell?
Not be me, good sir.
Who in the hell? Who in the Want some musty brain? Not me.
Y'all, that's so crazy. I was gonna ask how your weekends were, but I feel like I knew.
Let me run that back.
Rain.
Oh,
you guys, we had our live show in New York.
Yes,
yes,
it was amazing.
Happy 2-year anniversary. We literally started on August 19th, 2015. 14?
Time is flying.
I'm like, 15. Oh my God.
It was
crazy.
A five. I can't believe
it. Was
it.
A five.
That's a lot of time. So it just was such an accomplished feeling to be in the building that day and to see all the love once again. That's the best part of the live show for me, is to just see the love from the fans and the listeners. And it just was great. So what an accomplishment. I want 2 more and 10 more, whatever the fuck more God has for me, even though you know you ain't supposed to put them words in the same sentence. But there they are, and it made sense.
It was good, too. You guys all looked beautiful.
Yes,
yes.
All
did.
The crowd all the Tumblr was kids so showed right. up.
You know, they come dressed like to the park. Friend zone. Every city we go to, I've noticed that people put effort into their look.
Which is
they get
so
outfits for our
cute.
Show.
Right.
And I love it. It's a fashion show. So if you come and just know, you know, express yourself. And that's the thing, it's no pressure. Just look your best.
And I love it because like the girls from my wellness retreat were in the front row.
Repping hard.
And Crystal called them the Manuka Honeys, which I think is my new name, like my new name for my listeners. The Manuka Honeys.
Hey, my Manuka Honeys.
You know how artists be like, my monsters and my... Everyone has
my
a name.
Stars.
My stars.
My sheep or my lambs.
Not my sheep.
My Manuka
I'm
Honeys.
A lamb, y'all know.
I've never wanted to like pledge a Greek organization before as much as I did Saturday night when I said, I don't care about gender! When I seen them lined up in that front row, I'm
aren't
like, that's the
cute?
Flyest sorority I've ever seen in my life. And I'm about to start stepping like that was it.
I was so proud of them. Their energy was so dope.
It
they
was.
Literally held us down the entire show. So shout out to y'all. Y'all
yes.
have fun.
Yes,
what
did.
Would be your name if you was in the Manuka Honey tribe?
If I was pledging?
Yes.
Manuka Honey?
You pledging Manuka Honey?
I'd be Manuka Honey all natural.
Hey.
Because, you know, honey be local to, like, where you get it from for pollen and stuff like
yes.
that. So I would make sure I let them know that everybody around me feels better once I get inside.
Okay. Ooh.
Boom.
All
that's
right.
how you pledge a line.
Okay. Damn, and you know what's crazy? Are we gonna be on the same line?
Yeah, what's your line gonna be? What's your name gonna
I'm
be?
I'm Grade A Honey B.
Grade A
okay.
Honey B.
Serving up that honey D, okay.
Oh my God. I can't.
Getting it popping at the wellness retreat.
So, I bet yes. y'all sexed up the retreat now. No, but it was
pledge.
Amazing. Thank you to Kid Fury and Crystal for opening
Thank
up
you.
For us.
Yes.
They were awesome. And of course, our sisters, Jade and Kia from Getting
yeah.
Grown
yes.
Pod, for moderating the Q&A. And we can't forget Jorel from
yes.
Talkspace.
Jorel Carabello.
Yes.
The licensed therapist who so graciously joined us during the Q&A segment and blessed us with some answers that
yes.
were out this world. He
yes.
totally added to it. So we'd definitely be working with him more. You
Absolutely.
Guys will hear
Talkspace
him.
Is so dope, too, for having therapists that just feel comfortable like that.
And a black therapist
yeah,
at that.
Black
yes.
therapist. Because Talkspace is about choosing a therapist, and that's literally what we did
right.
for the show.
Literally.
So, yeah.
Okay. Therapy for how we live today.
Okay.
And thank you again to Jarrell. He actually emailed into the show, and he said that he wanted to take a moment to thank us for allowing him to be
Aww.
Part of our very special 2-year anniversary live show.
Thank
he
you.
Says, it was an honor to share the stage with you, and I cannot commend you enough for creating a platform for black folks to be able to talk about emotional health. It's very close to my heart and my purpose. So, Jarrell, just a special thanks to you for even sending that in. It was awesome working with you. And he is based out of New York, and he is a licensed therapist with Talkspace. So, look him up or look up Talkspace.
Yeah,
okay.
He's really, really dope.
How about that promo code?
True, right? So, do you guys want to jump in?
Of course I
All
do.
All I do it.
Yes.
All I do it.
So, on last week's show, titled A Midwife, A Dream, and A Wash Rag, featuring our sis, Jade of Audrey. That title's everything.
That title sounds so crazy. when you say it like that.
Jade Ooh. Of All Jades, who blessed us with her perspective as a wife, as a mother, and a businesswoman, and just the everyday juggle of having to fit all of those roles. A lot of you had so much to say. It affected a lot of you in so many positive ways. I really enjoyed the feedback. And of course, we want to hear what stood out to you. So what would you figure out? You hear me? Would you figure out?
What'd you figure out?
Friend, come on.
Well,
in.
I figured out that Keisha emailed in to us over at the Friend Zone at loudspeakersnetwork.com. The subject is feedback from last week and the Black Business shout out. I don't know if we're going to make it that far, Keisha. I didn't mean to do that to you. So anyway, Keisha says, thank you for having an amazing episode last week.
Yay.
I love listening to you guys and making sure that I keep my mind healthy. I loved hearing Jade's feedback on being a mom, wife, and businesswoman. It's so true that we often put so much time into these jobs that we lose ourselves and get into a mentally unhealthy place. I'm a mother, and I also had to go back to work at 6 weeks.
Shit.
I was not ready, and my body wasn't either. Leaking milk in the middle of the office is not a good look. But my job at the time did not offer me any paid leave. And if I wanted to extend my leave, I would have needed to take my vacation time. I had my daughter early, so I would only earned about a day of vacation from January to February. And I wasn't able to carry over any vacation from the previous year.
Wow.
So just the fact that moms have to do that. And she also goes on to state that she went to an OB-GYN, and that OB-GYNs, or a lot of people don't realize that OB-GYNs are surgeons. And so she recommended watching the movie The Business of Being Born on Netflix. So thanks for sending that in, and thanks for listening to the show, because that is a good resource. That a lot of people think that they have to go to the hospital, that they can't just go to the OB-GYN. Like on Married to Medicine with Dr. Jackie, Dr. Simone, watching these women work with women. I know. It's so much mess, but you really, on those shows, you get to see those women really connect with their patients, too. And it's really touching to watch, even way back when Dustin brought up Simone talking to the young female that was going through transition, how Simone was handling that.
Oh, right.
To watch Jackie go over with her patients talking about, you know, going through the birthing process, how things don't work from her patient's point of view, and even from going through having things with her own husband, infertility, them having infertility issues. Mm. So thanks again, Keisha, for writing in. Fran, what did you find over there on your corner?
Curl Queendom on Come SoundCloud on. Said, thank you.
I thought you were talking about somebody named Carol. I was going to be like, Curl.
Curl's daughter. Curl's daughter.
I can't. Curl. Now I can't read it.
Curl Kingdom.
Well, y'all heard what it is. Thank you for this episode. As a true fan of your show, there are times when I feel that I just can't relate to you guys. Mm. We are peers age-wise. That's shade. She's like, but not mentally. Oh. No, I'm kidding. She didn't say that. We are peers age-wise, and I think we could get along great if we ever met. But I've been a mother since I was 21.
Okay.
And a wife since 22.
So a different experience.
Exactly. I'm now 33, and my life is very different in that regard. But I really appreciate you all being open to a frank discussion of parenthood and marriage. It made my heart smile.
Yes.
And that made me happy, because obviously we can only speak from our perspectives and our life experiences. We can't make it up, you know. But that's why it's important, I think, having guests, and we'll probably do more of that just to get different experiences on the show.
Yeah.
Jade, I thought, was perfect, especially where we are in our lives now that most of our friends are getting married and having kids, and just wanted to put that experience out there. So, like, Curl Queendom, like Curl said, so everyone feels like they have something to relate to on this show. So I'm glad you liked it.
Yes.
And thank you to Jade for being so transparent and an awesome interview.
Jade of all Jade.
Right? What about you, Dustin? What'd you find in these streets?
I said in these streets.
In these streets.
I found several tweets this week. You guys had me rolling, and so it's a few people that are getting highlighted, starting with Mark. Goes by the name of I think Mark. The letter I think Mark, who tweeted a beautiful thread, a three-tweet thread featuring gifs of NeNe Leakes that were bringing the lyrics of Lil Uzi Vert's EXO Tour Life to life. The first tweet was EXO Whore Life, and it's NeNe Leakes being photographed by the paparazzi.
Oh my God.
Bulbs flashing. The next lyric is Push Me to the Edge, All My Friends Are Dead. It's NeNe Leakes giving the hand infamously to Sheree. I Don't Really Care If You Cry. And it's NeNe Leakes emphatically looking at someone as if she does not care if they do cry. So shout out to Mark for that genius tweet thread. He's so funny. Follow him on Twitter. I also want to give a shout out to Mouse Jones, personal friend of mine, brother of mine, friend of the show. Who quoted the tweet from Emirates 247 that says, woman gives birth to goat to a goat. And
what?
Mouse actually quoted the tweet and said, actually, Gloria Carter did that December 4th, 1969. So shout out to Mouse Jones in the Twitter streets. This tweet I'm going to have to say really fast, so follow me, because it's really improper. And my aunts listen to me on this show, so I have to keep it together somewhat.
Oh, Lord.
But if you go on Daily Scissor, Daily Scissor, you know how Scissor is spelled. It says Scissor smoking a blunt on stage. It's a video of her smoking a blunt on the control tour. Go look it up. Okay, so
yes.
The next tweet that I would like to highlight, and this one, you guys, this is good, okay? This tweet comes from Sokka, Chris Sokka, and the Twitter handle is S-A-C-C-A, and it says, tubas trolling Nazis with cartoon music is my new favorite thing. You guys, these people walked alongside the Nazis at one of their rallies or marches, playing the tuba, playing cartoon music. Listen.
And this is what stupid looks like.
What's the name of that one?
Genius.
Oh,
genius.
So
genius. So I just wanted to highlight those tweets because I thought they were absolutely hilarious. Also, Carrie's Corner is back this week. Oh, don't forget our friend, Carrie. It's Carrie on Twitter, who tweeted a beautiful thread about the night that he had with Kaya. And that's all I'm going to say. Go to Carrie's timeline and look for his Kaya story. He just met Kaya the other night, and there is a story to be told.
Okay,
so that's what I found on these streets, y'all. I wrapped that right on up efficiently.
These streets. Okay. Efficiently. So are y'all ready for this week's episode?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
I know Asante is, because this is his expertise.
Can I just tell you? I'm sorry. Never mind. This is totally dumb.
What?
When I just did, oh, yeah.
What'd
okay,
you think
so.
Of?
There are these clips floating around from Making the Band, right, where Lori Ann's going off on, like, Taquita specifically, actually, when she's like, too much, Taquita. So there's a scene where Taquita was waiting to get a part on the song, and she was, like, talking about how geek she was in the confessional, and they kept going back to them in the studio. So then she's like, so finally I'm getting my part, and it comes up, and I'm like, and then they go into her scene, she just goes, oh, yeah. And that was her only part in the song, and every time I say, oh, yeah, I think about Taquita, it was the only thing she had. Shout out to the queen.
You are the king of ad-libs, I swear. It's like a jukebox.
Ooh, go ahead, friend.
Shout out to y'all for the hat.
Okay.
So, okay. So this week's episode, we wanted to, let me tie it in. Since last week we discussed how to handle the juggle of family and business, we promised you guys on the episode before that how we would what is it? I can't speak today. Like my brain,
just one of them days.
My brain is like not.
You're making perfect sense to me. I was following you right along.
Maybe my brain and my, you ever have those days where your thoughts and your words don't align?
Right,
that happens to me all the time.
My brain be trying to push the words out faster than my lips are actually moving. I'm like, why is this happening to me?
So I'm in knots today.
That's how people get cussed out. It's be my brain and my words is separate but equal. You know what I mean?
Don't mind me, y'all. I must not have gotten enough protein today. So. I would never.
We talking about my sister now. And y'all listeners, if you thought about it, I'm beating your ass. Okay? That's it.
I was going to ask what fruits and vegetables and things of that nature.
That's what they better be thinking about.
All right. Let's try that again.
Shit. Do you use vegan powder?
So, we promised that we would help you guys with your productivity and your motivation and feeling inspired and how to push forward with your different crafts, goals, and businesses. So this is going to be the business tips episode. We're going to give you guys insight on how we do it, what we're still figuring out, challenges we've met, and just regular day-to-day productivity, like apps and tools that are helping us get through this entrepreneurial life. So
business tips like that, not nails that are appropriate for the workplace.
Okay, claws wrapped. The season finale of Claws happened, y'all.
I can't. So let's start with travel because it's Asante's favorite. And he's actually, I'll start with that. Asante, when we've traveled, he always had TSA pre-check and clear and every other feature that the airport has to offer. And I was like, you know what? With my tour schedule, especially if you live in New York, you tend to get caught in traffic heading to the airport because it's usually rush hour or just the bridge is always a mess. So I was like, what can I do? You guys know I'm always looking for ways to simplify my life and bring ease into my everything.
Yes.
So Asante, I saw how he would just kind of breeze through the lines. And I'm like, I need to sign up for TSA PreCheck. It's one of those things you always see.
Mm-hmm.
You always see the little sign, but you never take the time out to like physically fill the application and then go to the place so that you can be verified with your passport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what, $80 for 5 years?
I forgot how much I paid, but yeah, it was
I think it's like
$80.
Yeah, and basically it's like a VIP line at the airport where you are able, because you're paying extra and you're already verified since they have your like fingerprints in the system, you can kind of breeze through a lot faster than like the general line. And it's just really helpful if you're someone with a travel heavy schedule.
Yes.
Because with me with this tour, I'm traveling once a month. And then on top of all the other projects we have, like with Friendzone, that's sometimes 2 or 3 times a month of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a blessing to not have to wait on a line that adds like up to an hour to your trip. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to take off your shoes.
That was why I signed up.
That's why.
I mean, legit. So, you know, Atlanta, you've been to the airport. is huge as fuck for no fucking reason. So, like, growing up there, and then the few times I had to go to the airport, I was like, damn it, it's chaotic as hell in here. I would hate to have to come here regularly, but I do want to travel a lot. So, like, even after moving to New York from Atlanta, I was like, I just want to be in the sky. I want to be fly all the damn time. So, but I want it to be easy every time I do it. Because one of the things I immediately notice about the airport, and we all know, it's just chaos.
Right.
Like, bags get lost. Pets get lost.
Oh, my God, no.
Like, all sorts of shit can happen to you at the airport. So I just always tell myself, like, let me just make the most chaotic shit possible that I think I'm going to have and as easy as possible.
Exactly.
And so, like, getting to the airport, once I'm there, I'm square. So I just wanted to fast track shit as much as possible. And pre-check was like, you don't got to take off your shoes. And I was like, what?
And that's important, just hygiene.
Thank right? You.
I really I don't want to
put my
socks
on the floor and then walk around and then put all that shit back on in my shoe. Like, and then get on a flight. And then people be taking their shoes off on the flight. So let's say I want to take my shoe off on the flight, but then there's other stuff. Like, it's just too much.
Right. Low-key, you have to bring an extra pair of socks. Well, you don't have to, but it's travel a good socks. Idea to put an extra pair of socks in your carry-on. Yeah, I've actually been thinking about that. Because there are people who walk barefoot in front of you through security. Now, you know you about to go somewhere or whatever. You know you have to go through airport security. Why are you wearing Havanas?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Why are you wearing super dry flip? Why are you Old Navy flip flops? Why Chinese slippers? Why?
Especially when it's cold as hell on the flight to begin with.
Yeah, and that's nasty. I don't care what nobody says. Being barefoot in the airport it's going disgusting. To security is nasty. And them, I don't believe that them footprints was always yellow on the mat.
Oh my God!
I mean, you're literally
They started out white, and from them nasty people going through security, they have now. Yellow.
Dead.
You're literally getting germs from all different countries and shit.
Oh
so
my
I'm
gosh.
Just like
I literally know. All walks of life.
Right.
Straight up. Okay.
Straight up.
Straight up and down, like 6 o'clock. All walks of life. Okay.
And the other perk is that you don't have to take out your electronics. So if you have a laptop in your bag or iPad, or you don't have to take it out to go through the scanner.
But then at some airports, too. Like, I'm learning.
Where you do have to take it out?
Yeah, because, some still have different scanners and stuff. Mm. Like, they just have, or I think that some of the people just be lazy some of the time.
I think sometimes they just want to bother.
Yeah. Right.
Because the other day, where was I?
Because I usually don't remember what city that was.
I don't remember what city it was, and the guy was like, you got to take off your shoes. And I was like, I have TSA pre-check. He was like, you still got to take off your shoes.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never had to take, like, that's the point.
Some
and he kind of looked at me
pre-check.
Like, no. Yes, my pre-check got snatched on my last trip, and I was so pissed. Y'all know I don't get pissed, but I was like, why am I paying for a service
right.
that you can take away when you feel like it? Then what's the point?
So if you get pre-checked and it gets snatched, what I usually do, and it didn't work at first, but I think because more people got and would complain about it, is when I would get to the airport, if I saw it wasn't on my check, I would go up to the kiosk and I'd be like, I have pre-check and your...
And they'll put it back on.
Yeah, your KTN, your known traveler
number. And that's
what
I'm saying. Some of them are kind enough and they'll be like, oh, it just got taken away, quote unquote, at random bullshit.
Right.
And then they'll be like, what's your number? I'll just put it in. But then you have the ones that are like, nope, you got snatched. Get online.
No, see.
So it's based on their mood, I think.
I told them, because I always say, I have my KTN, my non-traveler number, because sometimes the Delta people don't even know what pre-check is. And sometimes the Virgin people are like, you got to check in over here. Like, everybody in the airport be on different waves, too. So sometimes you, like, this is terrible advice
to
give
like,
you.
Aggressive.
Don't take this advice too wild, but sometimes you just got to do whatever you want in the airport. Because, like, there are idiots walking around either working there or just coming from different coming or going, you know? Like, when I had to take my stuff out, I remember pushing my stuff through, and the lady was trying to take my my lotion out or whatever because I had it in the bag. You know, you only get, like, three or four whatever bottles.
Yeah.
She said that I couldn't keep one because it was 6 ounces, but I only had two bottles in there, and one was big. And I was like, see, she's just nitpicking for no reason. You know, these little things ain't going
to
make no
I mean,
bottom.
A lot of it is based on people's moods,
right.
truth be told. And then,
so you should be nice to people when you're in the airport.
Well, yeah, for sure. Then aside from TSA pre-check, then there's Clear. How would you explain the difference?
I can't because I actually applied for Clear, and they told me I had to get tint because I was black. I said, now, you know what?
I really looked over like...
Where is the fine print? Show me the terms and fucking conditions.
Oh my God,
they tried
Dustin.
To offer me tint. Talking about, oh, we got tint. You know what I'm saying?
The black clear Dustin.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is tint?
Now you know someone's going to look that up.
And be like, well, how do I get
Where
the tint?
Is it?
I'm like, why did I get the tint? So... Let's dial back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if you fly often, or if you're planning on flying often, try to pick a dedicated airline and get a membership with them. So I do the Delta sure. Sky Miles. I even signed up for American Airlines. Their membership, I signed up for a little bit, all of them. Mm-hmm. But some of them you can actually, they're like in a Star Alliance. Like some of them you can share your points and miles through. Haven't gotten that far in the game yet. A lot of this was taught to me by Alex Rego.
Shout out to Alex Rego.
Shout out to Alex.
She collects all the Delta points. She collects all the, Starwood points. Like, all the, if you get you a good flight thing and a good hotel thing, you might have, extra rooms at the end of the year for some shit that you could use if you need. All sorts of little free upgrades. Because if you get you a SkyMiles number, if you're on a plane and it's a nearly empty flight and you eligible for upgrade, you might get upgrade. I've been upgraded to first class, a few different times just because I was a member. Not because I paid for it, because I don't have no first class money.
And the thing about signing up and being loyal to an airline is that it's free. You might as well do it.
Right.
Like, I lost so... Thinking of how many flights I've been on in my lifetime not counted hurts Ooh. My brain. But luckily, with the start of this year's tour, I was like, I'm going to be traveling a lot this year. So I made myself loyal to Delta. Loyal
yes.
To Delta in January. Yes. And I'm already a silver medallion.
Shout out to friends.
Right? Yes. Which the perks of silver medallion, which is like the first level medallion. Okay. Because then you go to gold.
Charting.
Yeah.
I'm silver with you. Okay.
Right. It's silver. Then you go gold and you go platinum. Is it platinum or diamond?
Diamond, I think.
Diamond.
Is it platinum then diamond?
I don't know.
They got all of them.
It's black, then you never come back.
Don't come back.
But the perks of silver, since that's what I am, that's all I remember, is that you don't have to check back. You don't have check bag fees.
Amen. You get one free check bag.
I only check one. That's why for
right.
me it's like
so
perfect.
So you get one free check bag, and I think internationally it's two.
Oh, nice.
So,
and then,
y'all need to know that if y'all traveling.
And like Asante said, if there happen to be availability in first class or business, you're like priority. It doesn't mean you're gonna get it, but you're a priority.
Get it first.
Right. You're a priority on the waiting list to be able to have one of those seats, which is cool, especially if you're traveling far.
It.
And the more you fly, the higher priority you become. So
right. And the more you rack up the miles.
Exactly.
Right. So that's really cool. I think that was nice for me too. And then you get like priority boarding.
Yes.
And this is not a thing of like elitism, because I know it's so, it sounds so cheesy, like priority boarding.
This is for business. Like, you want to be comfortable when you travel.
When you travel a lot, it's nice to have seats that have like a little more leg room. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or just not paying $50 round trip for your bag, just to check a bag. Like, these things help financially as well. Because, I mean, at this point, I'm paying like $1,000 or something a year. You know what I mean? So it's pretty rough just to check bags. That's crazy. So that's helpful, too. I definitely am glad that I made that more of a priority to be loyal to an airline this year.
Yes.
What else?
So after you get your loyalty program to whatever airline you're going to get you pre-check, because pre-check is going to just fasten, your process through security.
Oh, the TSA but, pre-check, yeah.
Yes, but if you feel like pre-check really just, it used to be a separate line from the regular security line for people that, filled it out, there's like a questionnaire that they give you, identity stuff, like you have to go to an office and do that whole thing. Once you have done all that and you have pre-check, clear is the next tier, because clear... You check in before.
Clear makes you feel like Diddy at the airport.
It's some global shit.
It's low key embarrassing.
You check
though.
In before
weird.
The security line.
I did. I was like, this is too much.
People always look at me like I'm somebody, and I really just be so happy and blessed to be getting to where I'm going.
God, no.
And little do they know. Like, some people will be getting that shit, and they be like, ha-ha, shitting on you hoes. Mm-hmm. I just be like, I'm just so glad I'm gonna be making it on my flight. And I don't have to be over there. Thank y'all so much. Like it's just so funny. But anyway, clear. You actually check in with someone before you go to the security line, and once you have checked in with them, they walk you to the very first TSA agent instead of waiting in that entire line to get to the TSA agent before you take your shoes off and stuff.
And the TSA agent just waves you.
He don't
even
really scan your stuff.
No, because you're already in the system.
Right, you ain't clear. He'd be like, well, I gotta look at you too.
Right. So technically, the person who walks you straight to the metal detector.
Yes.
And mind you guys, this is regardless of how long the general line is. So you're walking security past line, everyone. Capitalism is rude.
You're literally cutting 15 minutes up to like 45 minutes up to an hour and a half of security waiting, depending on where you're going and what day you're leaving.
Yeah. And then if you have the TSA PreCheck and Clear combination, which is what we have. So the Clear has the person, the agent, walk you to the metal detector, and then the TSA PreCheck is what allows you to not have to take off your shoes or take out anything from your bag. Yeah, and makes the walk through the metal detector easeful. So that's like the tag team right there. And then you just walk through like a breeze. Like your airport security aspect is like 5 minutes tops.
I seen somebody coming through the airport when we went to London with bottle service. They had bottle girls and sparklers. Yeah, I'm like, that. Like, what is that?
That's,
I'm
like, that's
they clear. They be wild at JFK, man.
I mean, it was all that.
I'm
yeah.
Dead.
So these are the tips and tools that I've utilized to get me to my highest potential at the airport.
At the airport.
Before I start flying private.
And then there's global entry.
I forgot we didn't talk about global entry.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm thinking about. Which is essentially the same thing, but it's just for trips that are internationally based.
Right, because Clear, I forgot, is only national.
Domestic,
yeah.
And that's if it's even at, because it's relatively new, it's not even at every airport.
Yep.
Yeah, but global entry, the only thing with that, I actually recently signed up for it, but it is so intense, rightfully so, because like, international is like a way bigger security
deal.
Right.
They gotta really vet you.
Right. But it's a lot of questions. Like, they need to know every, like, the last, like, five apartments you lived at. Mm. They ask you a million questions just about everything personal. And if you have the time, but it's worth it. Because
yes.
Then one thing people who travel internationally will tell you is that line for customs.
Oh my God. That's why they call
bonkers.
It customs, because you be cussing. It's
okay.
Customs. That's
sometimes
what it is.
You, if you have a connecting flight, a lot of times
God.
Either really close or you don't even make it because you have to get off the customs line, go get your suitcase, and then walk back inside.
Shit.
Yeah, check it again and walk through the terminal again. So, just little things that are helpful. What about luggage? How about luggage? Do you guys have like helpful luggage?
I don't like checking bags just because if you're gonna lose,
all
dogs going to
that.
Heaven on these flights, then. You know, I don't want, if you're going to lose a live animal, you know, that's a very ballsy lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I'm going to lose your pet.
Oh.
Like, what do you mean?
Right.
So if you're careless like that with an animal, something living and breathing, how can I trust you with some Jordans? So I like to carry my things on. My travel tip would be to pack light.
Yeah.
That's my pick. So I believe in carrying, my favorite thing to carry is I have a big, large leather duffel bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I stuff all of my clothes in. I've packed for, 6 days straight with that
really?
Bag. And then I always have a backpack. I prefer this Nike KD backpack. They don't even make them anymore, but you can find them on like eBay or I don't know, Pinterest or Pinterest. I don't know. But, those are great to have. One for shoes, one for clothes. I put suits in there. In most hotels, you got to take the L and pay the money. But most hotels have like dry cleaning services. So don't be, tripping about a garment bag. Ball it up. No, I'm just playing. Don't ball it up, but fold it flat and layer it, and just press it when you get there. But try to pack everything you can into a carry-on bag, and because you get a second bag, which, they don't really measure them, whatever.
Right.
So you just fill them up both. Fill both of them up as much as you can.
Y'all
don't
are both
nothing.
Really good with that. With all the cities
it.
We've traveled, y'all
it's
always have your check.
It's also easier for guys, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Women require, but most women carry like a lot more stuff than guys do.
I mean, truth be told, it's the liquids. Yeah. If I didn't have to bring like hair products and shampoo, conditioner, styler, like all these different lotion. And granted, you could buy one of those travel packs where it breaks it down into 3 and 4 ounces, but I have a lot of hair.
Yeah, if you wanted to break your hair off too, shit. And plus you want to use
it's not
stuff.
Enough, yeah.
You know,
and it's just easier to just take the whole product.
You can't buy everything everywhere either, so you almost have to.
Especially
bring your
when we're
with
traveling
you.
Internationally,
yeah.
If you're gonna do it, if you want to do your liquids,
you
got to
get closer.
Bags.
You know, I'm the king of whispering on this mic.
Good, thanks,
there
Dustin.
You go.
Good looks. You gotta pack 2 bags, right? You got your carry on and you got your personal. Do two. liquid bags and one in each, but don't put your stuff together. Separate it with your shoes and your coats and stuff.
I'm mad at this.
Whenever I put my stuff on the conveyor belt, I always separate my two bags because sometimes I pack extra liquids because I want to be like Dustin. I want to just come to the airport and go. I don't want to wait at baggage claim.
I'll figure it out one day.
So sometimes I be having two liquids packed. And I have one in my backpack, and then I have one in my carry-on, but I'd be separated with my shoes on the conveyor belt, then I put my jacket down the conveyor belt, then another bag, because they're not going to be like, these both yours?
Like, you'd be like, maybe.
As long as it ain't going over and setting off the thing,
right?
It's fine.
Packing toiletries is stressful for me.
Oh, very much so.
It's just a very stressful process. Like, do I take this toothbrush? Do I just buy a new one? You know, what is it going to be in? Is some dust going to get in the case? You know, do I need to roll up this toothpaste? Is it embarrassing to bring a used tube of toothpaste somewhere in front of people? And
actually,
I'm out of town.
I have a tip for that.
What is it, please?
Most of you have travel. Do you have like a travel case that carries all your toiletries in it?
I did see this Louis Vuitton one that I want to buy myself.
Of course.
So I'm going to get one. By the next time we go somewhere.
Yeah, like having a little bag or some kind of like sack or case that holds all your toiletries is key, number one, because that helps you stay organized.
Major key.
And then the second major key is to just keep it packed. Like, so buy double of all your toiletries. Like, I have a toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, all that is just always in that sack. So I don't have to take it out. I don't have to, like, you know how you have to, like, wait till you shower and put lotion on and then pack all your toiletries before you travel?
Yeah.
Before that last shower, before you get to the airport, and the toiletries usually the last thing. I was getting annoyed with that because I'm like, oh, then your toothbrush is wet because you just used it. You don't want to put that wet. Yeah,
stressful.
So
that's
when I was like, if I had a toothbrush that was specific for travel and was just in there all the time. So I just bought two of everything. And that bag is just always packed. So toiletries isn't even something I think about.
That's
it's just
smart.
In my suitcase.
Yeah. My first stop is always a Walgreens, CVS, or a drugstore. Every time we get to a city, I'm like, I need to go to Walgreens or whatever.
Right.
I just buy toiletries once I get there. Because I literally abhor the process of packing toiletries. I don't know why. It just sets me.
Because well, it's.
Just sets. It really ticks
me
off.
And you tend to forget shit.
Yeah,
and
it's
annoying.
That is. Oh.
That's why I had to buy two of everything.
And that's a great travel tip,
too. It's pre-packed.
Go to the convenience stores and stuff when you land, but don't buy any of it in the airport.
Because
of stuff is going to be overpriced.
You pay $30 for a jar of Vaseline in the airport.
What?
That's high. That's runway robbery. That ain't even highway robbery. That's tarmac robbery. Do you know I pay $13.34 for a pack of Trident?
Oh, no.
What?
but it sound likely,
oh my
don't
God.
It? Don't it sound like that shit really could have happened, though?
I'm like, was
it
this
really could have happened, though. Okay.
Oh, hell no.
What about your bags that you travel with? How do you pack? Do you have, like, a routine? Do you roll your clothes? You know how people roll to make room?
You know what? It's a little bit of everything. Because if I'm traveling for days and then I have, like, different places to be in, I have to have, like, certain things folded and I have to have certain things rolled. And then I usually have, like, a hotel bag full of, like, the dirty clothes or whatever. Because I always take those, like, little extra miscellaneous bags in hotels and use them for my dirty clothes. Like, whenever they give you, like, the laundry bag and all that. Or for even my shoes and my sneakers when I pack that stuff. Because sometimes you're walking around a really dirty city and you're like, what the hell is this on the bottom of my shoe? And I don't want it on my clothes.
True.
But I think that when I have to fold it, I like to pack my corners and then I put my rolled stuff towards the center. And then I try to put my liquids right in the center of my bag if I'm checking the bag.
Nice.
Buy you a good bag, too. I talked about that before on this show. But buy yourself a good bag. It makes you feel good. You know, when you don't have to worry about your bag breaking down because you are traveling a lot, that's something you have to think about. You would hate to be in a position where, like, your strap breaks or something like that.
Oh, my God.
So just try to invest, you know, a little bit. No, you don't have to do nothing
crazy. The
wheel
breaks and
you're
scraping it across the airport.
That's what I want for Christmas. I want a good-ass luggage
set.
Like, the whole shebang. I'm talking, like, the checked one, the one bigger.
That's what I did. Shout out to Fadia Cater. She's the one, actually, my homie from ATL. She's the one that She always has a dope ass travel set because she travels a lot. Mm-hmm. She works in the music industry. And she was posting something on Instagram one day about like a new travel set she got. And I was like, you know what? As a businesswoman,
you need that.
I need to level up and have a travel set. Because I would always be the one with like the three random, like the Nike duffel bag. And then the bag I got in Mexico that looks like a poncho. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Oh, shout out to them Mexicans. You know them blankets in Mexico that look like with that print, like the
That's
ponchos.
That's what I'm saying. Like the blanket bags that you so got warm. On your trip to they Cabo so or whatever. Warm. Like,
you wouldn't even think that you would go somewhere. I'm sorry, Fran. No, but you wouldn't think you would go somewhere as warm as Mexico and get a blanket. But I swear to God, shout out to my friends.
Those blankets are forever because they're so well made.
So, I mean, just you talking about stage 3 sleep. I slept like a baby. I'm talking, ooh.
Do they like embed the heat from Mexico in these blankets?
Whatever right. it is.
Just that indigenous touch, man. They it's know great. What they're
the
doing.
The craftsmanship, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, they just the best blankets I have ever slept on. But go ahead, right. please, my lovely friend.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I had, you know, like three different types of bags.
Yeah.
And then you have that leather bag. That's your one good bag. Mm-hmm. It's like, let me have like a uniform travel
right.
vibe, you know, that just looks like I'm a traveler, I'm a businesswoman. Like Dustin said, it does make you feel good. Is it a need? No.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So if you can't do it, don't even trip. But I think as you start feeling yourself and stepping into like your new life as a business person, these are just things that are nice to have.
And right. plus, let's be clear, we're not talking about, you know, everybody has to get a $5,000, you know,
oh, no,
Louis
mine
Pullman.
Wasn't even expensive.
No, you
no.
could go get yourself a fucking JanSport, you know what I'm saying? But just a new bag that you don't have to worry about tearing up as you travel, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever. And as you're able to do more if you want to, you can. If not, whatever. But just get yourself something.
Yeah, and the set that I got is called the Genius. It's called Genius. And I love it because
oh, so nice.
Being in New York, you've seen them? They're really cute.
No, yours.
Oh, yeah, the silver ones. Mm-hmm. Being in New York, we don't have a lot of space. So I should speak for myself. Most of us in our apartments don't have space for a luggage set. Like, where the hell do you put that? What I like about the Genius company is that you can fit them all into each other. And then put them in the closet. Yep. And I love that.
All in one.
Yep. Just one all into the big bag. So I bought a set of four. Mm-hmm. Like the small travel one. You know, the big one for like big international trips. And then the two in the middle. Beautiful. They're great. They're awesome to travel with. I always, you know, it just like adds a nice touch. And it's, like I said, it's something that when I have to travel, I don't have to think and fuss about what bag and what am I taking. It's just like, that's my travel set.
Do they got a backpack too?
They do have a backpack.
Did you get the backpack?
No, I didn't. I know I should.
You know that's what I want.
Right?
Like, that's what I want. I want the set with the matching
little
backpack.
Like the full set. That's so real. And what I do like about this, too, is that it has compartments for your underwear, for your socks.
Yes.
It has a dirty laundry sack inside, so you just throw it all in there.
Yep.
I mean, brilliant. And then it has a part for your electronics, like chargers and things you have to plug in, especially
that
if you're traveling internationally.
Yes.
And if you travel internationally, you know, sometimes you need the outlet converters. Mm-hmm. So it just has room for all the things you're thinking. I mean, it's just a well thought out luggage set. And you know, sometimes it'll have compartments, but it doesn't fit. You could fit like one sock in there. You're like, what? How is it supposed to be the sock section?
Right.
These actually fit. Like, they're big enough where you can fit your underwear if you need to. Helps because if you're someone that's struggles with organization.
Mm-hmm.
This
Very
is a cool
that.
Way to remember, like, okay, I need my underwear, mm-hmm. I need the Tronic, mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. And then it even has like a cute little list inside the suitcase that has listed,
see.
Make sure you check that you found, you know, you have boom, 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 all these things. I mean, perfect. I was so glad when Fadia, I don't know if she was like working with them or what it was, but I called her and I was like, girl, I just bought that whole set. Good looking out.
I want some.
And they have a new one now. I can't think of the name. Have you seen
what?
It? That it charges your
phone.
I
knew you were going to say that. And I was about to say, holla at me when the 2.0
it has a USB
come out, because that's what I want.
It.
I've seen those luggages with the USB.
I mean,
so
it's
like,
a couple different
shit.
Brands,
yeah,
so
but
I don't know
I
who
want
started
Genius's
that.
Version.
Oh, I know.
Because theirs looks so bomb. And all them compartments and shit, and then it just charged.
It's just helpful.
What?
But get the one that has, I didn't get that one, but get the one that has the USB, because when you're traveling, last thing you want to do is have to look for an outlet to charge
and
your
phone.
And
then for some of the flights, some of the planes don't even have USBs on them.
Most
too.
Of the planes don't. What? I hate that.
Which is a damn shame. I As know. I always say, it's certain things that you just need to be able to charge your phone while you're doing. And traveling in any sort is one of them. All public modes of transportation should be regulated to have out places for you to, if, for everybody. If
USB
it's an ass on the
outlet.
Seat, you need to be able to charge a phone.
That's
period.
Why I love JetBlue. Their, oh, their yes. flights, their planes are like more modern, I think, than the average planes. So they have all, they even have Headspace. Remember the Headspace
yes.
app where you can meditate?
On
the
direct TV,
oh,
on
my God.
Content,
so
yeah.
genius. But anyways, that's anything else before we move on from travel?
I just
want to
say,
sanitizer.
Oh yes,
oh true,
the GOAT ASAP. I don't care what you use. I don't know if it's a different, if it's a more natural way to have it.
Right.
I don't know. Hell, walk around with a lemon in your pocket.
Get you one of them little face masks.
You know, you got to do something
real.
People walk around with those in the airport, and before I used to be, oh my goodness, but now I understand.
It looked dramatic, but once you travel a lot, you start getting them little colds and little head colds and coughs and Lord knows what else. Yeah, definitely Hand sanitizer and the masks are like a game changer.
Another life hack as far as traveling and hand sanitizer and shit is concerned, when the plane gives you that hot towelette, put it on the person next to you if they sleep. It's the most fun thing
oh
in the world to do.
God.
Next time you get a little hot towelette, if your travel partner is asleep, go ahead and lay it on that earlobe or that neck real quick and give them a hot one. Make it hot, though. Give them a hot one real quick.
Terrible.
I just have one major thing to say.
Dustin.
Okay. Everything is so digital now, so that's why like the chargers thing is so important. If you are traveling and you are a very disorganized person, look online and see what all you can get out of the way immediately online. If you have a smartphone, which most people should by now, you can have your boarding pass on there.
Yes,
you can have,
that is a game changer.
Like we were talking about internationally, you can even have your passport on there. Like there are certain places that actually require you to put your passport information in before you can check in. So make sure you always get to a computer before you fly out. Or show up earlier at the airport to check in at the kiosk or with the person to do all of that. And if you are one of those people like me who don't want to talk to the people at the front desk normally, just do it all on the computer before you arrive to the airport.
That is such a great tip.
Yes,
because
it is.
I was one of those people that would get the check-in early email. I never paid attention, never check in. And then now recently I put my credit card info into the app.
Yeah.
So that once I check in and I check the bag and all that's just boop, 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 one like in 2-3 buttons. And then when I get to the airport, I don't have to go to the kiosk. I don't have to wait online. And all I have to do is go to bag drop. But I imagine if I didn't even have a bag.
Right, you don't need to talk to them.
It breathes straight on through.
And you know what?
And then especially with the clear and TSA pre-check. Okay, so if you can do that, listen to us. If you could check in early, not have a bag to check.
Hey, hold on.
TSA pre-check and clear, you're literally walking into the plane.
Like, literally. And let
like
me tell you.
On a hoverboard.
Right.
You touched on something I totally forgot. When you check in early.
I'm like, right.
If you check in early, like I'm actually about to do right now.
Right.
You can choose your seats, right?
Yes, if they're available, better ones available, which
right,
I always do.
Depending on who you fly with, you can choose a better seat in your class. You can see how much it is to do an upgrade. And depending on how close you are to your flight, you might not even pay anything for an upgrade if you have your loyalty program.
Right.
So make sure you always check in early so you can pick you a good seat. Because if you don't like to sit between people, or if you like to sit on the window because you don't ever got to use the bathroom or vice versa.
That's me. I always have to pick the aisle seat. So I'm always checking to see if there's an aisle seat available because I am a pee-pee head. And I'm that annoying person that would be tapping you on your shoulder like, excuse me, I have to use the bathroom.
That's why I'm always at the window.
No.
Put on the glasses and leave me alone.
I'm the worst person to sit at the window.
I'm the
best. The
worst.
Because you knock out. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, shout out to Dustin Ross for the new travel pillow.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Those don't work for me. They don't feel comfortable. They stick out too much.
If you're looking to make some money, make an advanced travel pillow. There has not been like
something.
One goat.
It should be made out of like beans or corn.
Or like that bamboo material or something.
That you can lean back and it takes your neck's shape. You know what I mean?
And low key, I have issues sleeping on something without a pillowcase. Shit.
Oh.
And that's just me.
You are funny.
I have an issue sleeping on that naked little pillow. I feel like it's something nasty about sleeping on something without a pillowcase. And I have always felt you know, beside myself sleeping on them pillows.
Because even the blankets come in a bag, right?
Make me one with a little pillowcase. And not that burlap ass bag you're talking about, Asante. That rough ass. It's like wiping your ass with Bounty paper towel. It's just inappropriate. Right. That don't make sense. See? So I want a real, you know, like a good, you know, 1,000 thread count. You know what I'm saying? A little pillowcase for my neck travel pillow. Can somebody please help me today?
Make a good pillow and a good pillowcase, okay? You're going to change the game if you do that.
We don't even have that much time.
Damn.
The travel done took. I mean, it's good information, though. I think it's really helpful.
We should have podcast pre-check and did it quicker.
Oh. Okay. Definitely didn't have clear for that one.
Right. So this is what we'll do. We'll just make a part two where we can touch on the other segments we have planned. Yes. But we do have at least a little more time to just give some miscellaneous tips that have helped you with productivity, whether it's an app or some kind of tool, something that people can download right now or look for online that has helped you, like, stay on your shit or just help you breeze through business things faster. What's something that you could share?
You know what I have never downloaded but have always used and it's always helped me with anything in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Notes.
Oh, yeah.
That little notes app, mm-hmm. I can, like, map every time I make a new note, and then I open it back up, and I revisit old notes and make new notes. Like, my notes has saved my life. Like, I can look at ideas from years ago. So thank God this is so, like, superficial, but thank God for Apple and the iCloud and all that. I know it can go horribly wrong, but it has helped me all this time and all this way.
Because you can share notes with people now.
You can share notes, but even syncing notes through old, like, lost devices, always upgrading, like, just
and
great.
Through multiple devices. Like, your notes show up from your phone to your laptop to your computer.
I was on a meeting today, and I had the notes app up on my laptop because I knew I could look at the notes on my train later. And I was like, oh, look at this.
I love it. Yeah, and people have been asking me, like, oh, when you guys come up with ideas for the friend zone or things to talk about, like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I could be watching a documentary, a movie, hearing someone's conversation on the train, or maybe I'll see a tweet. And the notes app is just amazing because it helps me jot it down in real time so that I can have something to look back at, like, you know, I have my list of, like, I literally have, like, hundreds of topics. This is a funny thing. And I'll look through it and be like, all right, I wonder what the guys would be down to talk about this week. But it's important. It helps me. That's, like, my lifesaver, the notes app. And then, like I've mentioned, it helps me write down what I want to yell at people about and not yell at them about later.
Exactly. Don't send it.
What else?
Just charge your phone. That's my thing.
No, you
if
did.
Nothing else, for real. The last thing you want to do is be somewhere with a dead ass phone. So the thing that we don't do is make ourselves plug that phone up before we go to bed, or make
That's
ourselves
true.
Before
I'm
if
bad
we
at
know
that.
We're going to the airport at 4 o'clock. Why isn't your iPhone on the charger at 1?
That's me.
Oh,
that's
why
me.
Isn't it? So just hold yourself a little bit more accountable for making sure that you are at 100% when you leave the house. Because, you know, we're talking about an iPhone, so you're going to be on 30 by the time you get to the airport. You know?
And having external chargers,
external
and having them charged.
Because
I'll
packs.
Have them, but I won't remember to charge them.
Get you a battery pack that you can charge while charging.
Yes.
That's a good one, too. Not the one. Sometimes you can see them, like, for dirt cheap at convenience stores and stuff. But they don't even charge your phone. Your phone, it'll be showing that it's charging, and you'll be losing percentage.
Right.
So invest.
If you're not one to invest, and you don't mind get you a janky convenience store charger, go on Amazon and read reviews, because it'd be a lot of those off-brand, weird name places. But they be working so long.
Yeah. Well, do that research then, baby, because otherwise you're gonna end up out here by yourself.
Look at the stars, read the reviews, make sure that they are real people.
You know they have solar chargers now.
What?
Actually, ordered one and I haven't put it to the test yet because they're a little bit big. And I understand because it's new. You know, the new version of things is always like the VCR version.
Remember cell phones?
Right.
Briefcases.
Exactly. So it's like the beta version. But
hey,
I'm so curious. Apparently, like, they had some campers testing it while they went hiking and, like, genius. And because, you know, where are you going to charge your phone if you're camping and hiking? And, you know, so I ordered it from Amazon. I'm going to test it out first, see if it's not bullshit. And then if it's not, then I'll tell you guys. They actually have it at Urban, too. I saw it on display. Yeah.
Urbanwood.
Of course.
I love it.
But a solar-powered charger is brilliant because you literally can charge your phone anytime, anywhere you are. So that's something to keep in mind.
I don't know if I saw it somewhere, if I made it up in my head, but I've been thinking about like a backpack with solar panels on it. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, I've seen that too.
If it's nighttime, can you put the oven on broil and put it in there for a minute? And will it charge your phone for a minute? Can you get about 6% that way before it get too hot? You know
can
what
I
I'm saying?
Can I flick the lighter on top of it? Oh, just tweak it a little bit.
Can I hold the mirror to the light fixture and then lean God. It a little bit to and make then, it
like,
cook?
Look, I don't know. Like right there, like just light it up on
top. Yeah, you know, do that work too. Is there a YouTube tutorial available suggesting alternative methods of
oh
charging?
Oh my God,
y'all. I don't know.
What tip do you have? Oh, wait, that was your tip.
Yeah, that was my tip. All right. I just put the tip in.
Damn it, Dustin. He is on the floor. I think my tip... Okay, here's the thing. Most people don't have printers and scanners at home.
Right.
It's become kind of obsolete. Back in the day, everybody had
one. You needed it.
Because you needed it. Especially for homework and essays and things you had to print out.
You had to tear that shit off the sides, the feed from going through the
paper. Oh, oh my God.
Old school.
So damn funny.
My mom had that printer fax. And I didn't take the sides off one time and I almost fucked it up because it was school.
But the reality is most of us don't even have the space for those things anymore because they're huge. Printers tend to be big, even if you get one that's like a little compact size. So what happens as a business person who tends to work out of your home office? What do you do when someone sends you a contract that you have to print, sign, scan, and email when you don't have that? And I know we used to have Kinko's, but Kinko's office, is that even
FedEx
still a thing?
Now.
Oh, it's FedEx now, but not all of us live close to one.
Right.
Or their hours are weird. Mm-hmm. Or people just don't have the money to be like, you know, paying for these services every time they need to print something. So one thing I would suggest is when someone is sending you a contract, tell them to use EchoSign. And EchoSign is basically a program that they put the contract in that will allow you to sign it digitally. Mm. And basically, you just type in your name and it'll make like a mock signature. And you can do it with your finger and it'll just make up a mock signature of yours. And then it keeps it stored because you sign up for EchoSign. Right. So anytime you have a contract sent to you, boom, it applies your signature automatically. And obviously, it's you should have a lawyer or someone looking up these contracts. So please don't just like, ooh, sign it with your finger and send it off. But once it's been reviewed and you've been given the green light to sign it and send it, a lot of the times, like I said, we don't have these machines at home or you're traveling. I always get caught where like I'm traveling somewhere and don't necessarily have time to sit and sign and print and scan. And so this has been a lifesaver. Ask the company to send you the contract through EchoSign. That's E-C-H-O sign. And a lot of times they don't even know about it and they'll do it and you change the game for them because a lot of times they're waiting for people to go get the contract scanned and now it's just boom, right on their phone.
Yeah, there's a couple of companies out there, but I'm glad you mentioned one because you can use that even if you need to do like IRS forms and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, of course. Anything that you would normally have to print out and do like manually. And I know another app that's helpful too is Scannable. Scannable is an app on your phone that you can literally kind of, it's the same way you would do the checks, like how the bank lets you take a picture of a check and they deposit it. It's the same thing. You take a picture of the document and then it scans it to your phone as a JPEG and then you can sign it. So if you sign it, let's say you're at a hotel somewhere, you just, and someone sends you something you need to send back, you can fill it out, take the picture of it, send it to them. And that's a Scannable app, which has also been a lifesaver for me. So
that's
just things like that.
Yeah,
it just helps because a lot of the times, as your schedule gets more hectic, or maybe even if you're a mom who has like hella shit to do all day, you don't have time to be like, you know, printing and scanning and shit. Like with Jade last week, imagine her schedule.
Right.
So anything that can kind of like knock off some minutes and free you up, yeah, and just the convenience of it, I think most importantly. So, and the last app that I would say is the Harvest app, which, when you are an entrepreneur, one thing you'll learn, and we did talk about this in the, what was it? Because business and polite don't mix episode, is people paying you on time. a lot of people won't.
Child.
I'm just glad there's no cameras in here yet.
I've been waiting on the excuse to use that word. Thank you, friend.
But people won't pay you on time. And one thing you hate having to do is chase people for money that you've earned or right. already worked for. There's should no I worse feeling,
up,
right?
Should I just keep chasing
and a lot of us don't want to have to be calling you, emailing you, and being like, hey, do you have the, you know, hey, it's been 3 weeks. Hey, it's been 4 months. A lot of us forget, too. Sometimes I've forgotten and been like, holy shit, so-and-so never paid me for that, because I can be pretty forgetful with all the stuff going on. A lot of us know how that goes. Harvest is an invoice app that keeps track of money, of payments owed, payments received, payments sent.
And they named it Harvest. I am on board already. Right now.
And okay. what it does, and that's right not now. Even all it does, it's like a scheduling app in general just to help you stay organized. So it does a lot of different things. But the invoice section is what I think is most important for us as budding entrepreneurs, because what it does is that it remembers who hasn't paid you yet. And then you can create a schedule for reminders.
Ooh.
And it sends them an email that says, you know, basically like, hey, you owe me, you know, you owe Asante X, Y, and Z amount as was us contractually obligated, blah, blah, blah. You can word it how you need to. What's they have that? Templates. Yeah. And it, but so basically it's like your manager. What a manager would be doing for you, which is basically like holding you down to make sure that you're getting the money you've earned.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
On the pettiest of notes.
Oh, gosh.
Can you determine the frequency of the reminders?
Absolutely.
So if I wanted
daily?
That thing, yeah. If I wanted to say, okay, every 3 hours.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Ask them where the money at. It can, yes. Technically, I can do that.
You have control of the scheduled reminders, yes.
Oh, the steeple fingers. The steeple fingers.
I created a monster, but nobody wants
to
nobody wants
to. So the Harvest app, yeah, I think that's a very, very helpful app for those of us who don't want to be chasing waterfalls out here. Just something to keep in mind. Anything else before we move on?
No, but I feel just so empowered. Thank you.
Right? I think those are good
tips.
Those
are great. Those are great.
Right? Sorry we didn't have time for more of that travel section.
Right? And I still had more. I'm still sitting here trying not to be like, and don't forget you got to check in the hotels early. Like I got
right.
more.
Right. Yes.
We're going to talk
we'll
about
do a part
that next
two,
time.
Though. Uh-huh. Yeah, because we still wanted to do a section on contracts, mm-hmm. like how to negotiate contracts. Knowing how much you should be getting paid, like how do you determine worth when you're an entrepreneur? Those are things that get tricky because we don't, you know, like doctors, teachers, like they have like specific scales mm-hmm. and rates. Mm-hmm. But when you're a creative, and not even just as creatives, there are a lot of 9-to-5 jobs where we're kind of like just allowing people to dictate what we should be getting paid, when in reality, you kind of should decide that based on your crafts and talents and what you have to offer. So we want to have conversations on all of that. So a part two will be coming. Hopefully you guys will be excited about that because hopefully it'll be helpful. So with that being said, let's jump into this week's wellness segment, Dustin.
Well, well. Now, well, well.
Oh, you're about to sing, boy.
Oh, well.
So, okay, so a lot of you that have been watching my YouTube channels and just my discussions on how helpful and beneficial essential oils are, know that I tend to always use Acacia oils. Mm. That's like my favorite. They're accessible. I think they definitely have them at Whole Foods, but they also have them at Target, CVS, and Walgreens, which I think everyone has access to those stores. So it's nice to know that like anyone can get these oils. So I want to let you guys know that Acacia is, they have like a new product now, which is a set of roll-ons. So you know like the little tiny bottles?
Yeah.
So they have a kit that you can travel with. And I think that's so genius because a lot of the times all the different oils that they have to offer, you know, and they say like what the oils do.
Yeah.
The oil bottles aren't big, but like if you have like multiple bottles, it can get a little clanky in your bag. And, you know, it's just a little. Sometimes like where do you put, you know, 8, 10 bottles of oil. Right. But I love that now they're creating these little travel kits of 8 of them. And they all, like, the different ones. Like, you can get the kit that has, like, frankincense lavender and tea tree, eucalyptus, peppermint, lavender. They literally have every oil you could think of. It's my favorite line. So now they have these travel kits. And I was talking to them the other day, and they were saying that even though the summer is kind of over, but they wanted to send one of you guys that is list that are listening a travel kit so that you can put it to the test, but they want it to be viewed as like a survival kit for at Afropunk. Because because you know, if you're not everybody's like comfortable being like around that many people, sometimes you need to roll on, not just for odors or smells or scents, but just you guys know the benefits
for spirits of the go away from me with this. Back up off me.
Right. Okay. Sometimes you can find them calming or grounding and all the different amazing benefits that aromatherapy has. So they are going to, this is what I think is so cute. So Arcacia, remember when I posted my picture in New Orleans? Yes. I had the white dress. I had this really cute Madewell leather bag. So Arcacia was like, we want to give one of your listeners from the friend zone a Madewell bag, a leather bag that kind of fits the Hey Friend Hey vibe of like the bohemian travel look. And then we're going to put the travel kit, the 8 bottles of Arcacia oils inside the bag. And one of you who meets us at the tent during our meet and greet is going to get that bag with the travel kit.
Listen here.
Right. And the bag is beautiful. I got to pick it. It's a gorgeous, like, really, you know, if Madewell bags are, like, incredibly made. Actually, one of my travel bags is from Madewell, like my carry-on leather bag that says HFH on it. Yes,
I love that bag. Too, friend. I love that bag.
That's, like, my business travel bag. But that's from Madewell, and I carry it all the time. So they know that that's, like, my favorite go-to for leather goods. So they were like, we want one of your fans to have, like, a Hey Friend Hey style leather Madewell bag.
What a great idea.
So cute, right? So in a way, this is like a Madewell, Afropunk, Arcacia, Hey Friend Hey friend zone collaboration. It's gang gang. Yeah. And when you guys pull up to the tent, I'm going to surprise one of you with that bag. Trust me, I picked it so you know it's cute.
Yes.
And then it has all the oils, which I think if you're someone maybe who hasn't bought oils or knows the benefits and just hasn't been able to put them to the test, you're going to have 8 to choose from right there in your bag. So that'll be a really cool introduction to the world of essential oil. So thank you to Arcacia for providing that for us. I think that's a really cute touch for us to have at Afropunk.
Super, super cute. Right? Whoever gets that is going to be winning.
Right. So it's a really cool way to, you know, have the wellness segment meet us at Afropunk. And I thought that was a brilliant idea. So thank you to Arcacia for that. Thank you to Madewell for the bag. And most importantly, thank you to Afropunk for even collaborating with us and giving us a tent to meet you guys in, which is always a blast, and we're gonna have so much fun. So
I can't wait to dance and just say hi to everybody.
Oh, it's gonna be so cute. And whoever wins, we're also gonna put you on my Instagram stories as well as the Arcacia Instagram stories. So that'll be fun for you as well. And all I have to figure out is, how do we decide who wins the bag? The friend zone bag.
You know, I think in the words,
should we pick a number? Like this person, the like 11th person to say hi to me gets it, or something cute like that.
We should.
Right?
You should do trivia.
A trivia, maybe something from the show that you have to know.
Yeah, but a lot of people are gonna go back and listen by now, so a lot of people are gonna come up with the answer.
I don't know.
You should, okay, so you should give a trivia question, and then you should say, like, the 5th or 6th person to come up to you with the answer is the winner.
Okay, maybe I'll do that.
Because, you know, if a bunch of people come up with it, it's like, oh, sorry, not this one.
You're something not the winner.
Good, though. We'll give it some time.
Right, so maybe we'll do that. I'll ask you guys a trivia question, and then I love the number 11. It just makes me happy. So the 11th person to get it right is the one who will win the bag with the travel kit. So that's cute. That's what we'll do.
Whoever's number 11 gonna walk away with that shmoney in that bag. And okay.
Listen, the bag is cute and you know it wasn't cheap.
Okay. Made well.
It was made well. So that's it. That was just a fun, collaborative wellness segment
super
this week.
Dope.
And I can't wait to see you guys on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
I know Asante won't be there,
but me and Dustin and Crystal and Jade will be holding it down. So can't wait to see you guys. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. Now let's jump to Mr. Music Man.
Mr.
What you got
Music
for us this week?
Man. So unfortunately, I will not be at Afropunk, and I just wish I would be there because there's going to be so many of my favorite people there. And I'm going to be talking about some of these people as I go through and review some of my playlist pledges of this year and talk about some of artists that I've been digging that you guys have dug. And just get into some shit that we have been feeling over the past year. Because songs shouldn't just die, right? I feel like sometimes we get like a hot song. Then after a couple weeks, it's kind of like, new hot song. So, and then to kick this off, Dave East just dropped his project. Oh, we said that at the beginning of the episode. You know, that's Bay
East. We could bring that back.
Look, that's Bay East. So, you know, I try to say it again. But just to let you know, if you are a hip-hop head and you're in the bars and... Even if you're not a hip-hop head and you're in the bars. Dave East dropped his project called Paranoia, A True Story. The features range from Jeezy to Nas to Wiz Khalifa to Chris Brown to French Montana.
Oh, wow.
Also, in one of the skits, he has his daughter. Is it Kyrie?
Kyrie Chanel.
Oh, she's so cute.
She's so adorable. So I just wanted to, you know, kick that off at the top of the Music Man segment. With that said, all of the playlists, again, are available via Spotify and Apple Music. And shout out to Chad up at Spotify, which is up there fucking with the kid today.
Chad.
So for the playlist of Playlist Pledge, I feel like there were a lot of songs that, or a lot of artists that I was revisiting as I was making my playlist through the months. And Solange was one.
What songs by her? And from what project?
A Seat at the Table. Ranging from projects, well, most of them, actually. I think I put on something from True. I put on something from Sandcastle. What was that one?
Hadley Street Dreams project.
Yeah, I think I've done a few different Solange projects. So
it's a comprehensive look into Solange's musical catalog.
Yes, she definitely has a catalog of lots of eccentric and what's the word I'm looking for? Because her tastes are very otherworldly, if you will. Like, even if you
eclectic.
Watch how she performs,
eclectic.
Yeah. That's the mm-hmm. one. Like, I just really love her style and how it's always changed, but it's always been the same, but it's always been different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just evolved.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Solange was definitely one of the breakout stars. As a matter of fact, I was going through my playlist on Spotify. But one of the cool things about Spotify, I just love featuring Spotify up here. I don't know why. One of the things that I love about Spotify is, like, during your library, they have these really cool playlists that cater to all of your shit. Like, they have the You Might Also Like on their front page, but then they have the shit that you've been playing and you've been fucking with, like the release radar, like shit that you're totally going
to
like.
I do like that. And they send you, like, the daily mix.
Yes.
With, like,
and they've got four or five different daily
mixes. Yeah. That's why I love them.
Solange definitely was on like three of my daily mix stations. So she's just a big inspiration to my life. One of the ones that I put on Solange, I definitely wanted to highlight True was a dope project. And what was that? The single Losing?
Losing You.
Losing mm-hmm. You. That was the single on there. But there were definitely lots of
I love that song.
Me too. I love that project.
That
Bad
whole project,
Girls.
Locked in Closets, was dope.
Oh
Lover
God.
Is in the Parking Lot.
Yes.
And Don't
and,
Let
and
Me Down.
And the videos.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. There's a video too. We talked about it on here before, but the Black Cab session when she was in London in that black taxi singing.
Oh, yeah.
Singing Bad Girls.
Yeah. Oh.
Blowing.
Oh,
Solange
my
is so
gosh.
Dope.
I just feel like we just have to highlight, like, certain things that we've, like, celebrated for a little bit, but we have to come back to. So, somebody else performing Afropunk is Thundercat.
Yeah.
I featured him on my March Moodness playlist. There were a bunch of different songs, but one of the things that I do love about Thundercat is that he's weird as fuck. But, you know, he puts, like, anime and stuff in his raps. Like, one of his songs, one of the songs was really weird. It was the cat song, and he's like meowing the whole time. But it's actually a really vibey ass dope ass song. But then in another one, he's talking about how he just wants to like watch Dragon Ball Z all day or some shit. And I'm just like, yeah, I can fuck with this.
I heard the cat song. He got a deal for that, didn't he? Didn't he get an endorsement deal for that?
What was the deal?
Meow 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 meow.
No, I like how you set cat, that up so for like, him. What was the deal?
Meow. No, Thundercat.
And but you know what? He is weird as fuck like that. So while you playing, mm-hmm. he might be up on stage Afro Punk and a bunch of cats might come running out or something like that.
Without
okay,
his belts.
Whoa.
He be having
a belt on. Thundercat. I said, well, that's why they call it that, because them pants are so high up in the middle. Thundercat, never mind.
Here we go.
Also,
another artist is going to beat us up in Africa.
I'm sorry. I'm like Phaedra. I'm not like Phaedra, but like Phaedra said. I can apologize. That's what I'm going to say when Thundercat and Sampha roll up on me at Afropunk. And be like, Asante, I can apologize.
Asante ain't going to be this. It's going to be me. They're going to beat me up.
I'll be like, friend, run. I'm sorry.
Look, go, go, go.
Oh, gosh.
Woo! Woo!
And you had someone make the Sampha Hot Pocket album cover.
I saw it. Genius.
I died.
Genius.
I can't. Yep. Dustin is terrible.
So low key, if Hot Pocket ever needed to do like a, you know, commercial revamp, I think that would be a cute commercial.
Yes,
I think it would be if he was a good sport, it would be a cute commercial and a cute look. But
and
you know
a very
what?
Cute check for me who came up with that.
Black Salute. You're the one that got
to so
execute
shout out
it.
To Sampha and Hot Pockets.
You're the one that got to tie the vision together.
I know the website.
You got to tie it together.
My
they got to
do
that.
Too. Intellectual property. Okay, let's go.
Also featured on the March playlist. I had put SZA on there when she did those tracks with the Tears in the Club. And they put out a project called Kingdom. So if you were checking out SZA before or you weren't really into her before, you hear her in different types of genres, if you will. Because Kingdom, they do like really trippy, R&B experimental type stuff. So SZA had a song on there called What Is Love? And that was one of the, that and Down For Whatever was the other song. And I featured those on the March Madness playlist. And I just wanted to just talk about some old people, or I'm sorry, some old projects. It sucks that, but if something's like a week old, it's literally old.
It does move fast. I was thinking about that because have you guys watched the footnotes for Adonis?
Yes.
No.
Didn't watch it yet?
Yes.
Wasn't it incredible?
Yeah.
And I feel
it.
Like, why haven't people been talking about that?
I don't know what Jay-Z can be considered for these all this video content he did.
It is amazing.
Some sort of recognition needs to be given here. I don't know if it's Emmy. I don't know. I don't know who or what category it will fall under.
I totally agree.
Needs to be recognized.
And
the
And I'm amazed that, like, no one is well, I shouldn't say no one, but at least the people on my feed, I don't see them having like conversations about the footnotes anymore. I would never say that it came and went because Jay-Z is way more of an impactful artist than that. People talk about it still. Like, I'm still listening to 444. But I think like how big these conversations are, how important the magnitude of these discussions with the people that are in them. I'm so lost at how they're not.
I'm blown away.
It's like, how are people not eating this up online?
The fact that Jay-Z created, first of all, credit where credit is due, 444 was a hell of an album rollout.
Oh, it was incredible. I'm still playing it.
And it was brilliant the way that they did this. It was just a brilliant album rollout. The fact that these footnote videos even exist.
Right.
And the fact that he is explaining the concepts and the stories and the themes and the social themes and the fact that this work is so personal for him, this is what being an artist is all about. And for a rapper to have given his art and music this level of credibility and legitimacy is something that is definitely noteworthy. So I just really hope people are paying attention.
No, I'm like, what is it? Because not everyone has title.
No,
think
probably
that's what
not.
It is?
And I don't think people are, when it comes to listening to a conversation, people are more inclined to listen to see what kind of secrets or gossip they can
get. But not so much the like lessons and.
I just think it's brilliant that Jay-Z anticipated that. And so he was very transparent on this project. But it's almost like we're being baited into these necessary conversations of depth based on our desire to, like, know more about what he was saying about their life.
Right.
And I think therein lies the brilliance of him as an artist, because he's literally getting the work done as well as satisfying us in every way with this work. So shout out to 444.
Yo, you have to watch. So long story short, in the footnotes for Adonis, because people have to know. I don't understand why people aren't talking about it. It ties so heavily into what we've discussed on this show as far as, like, the Theater Masks episode and just our relationship to our parents, communication, the importance of, like, transparency with parents and children. And he was saying that as he was growing up, he always viewed as his father as someone who abandoned him. And he always had that wound, and he would work from that wound, like even in the music he created, the way he related to people, the way he received and processed information would always come from that wound. Remember, we've talked about this before. Right. How much of your life comes from your spirit, how much comes from your wound. So to hear him talk about this, like, my heart started beating fast, because I was like, oh, the collective consciousness, like the fact that, like, we all are going through the same shit no matter who you are. It just made my life to hear all these men. I mean, he had Mac Wilds, he had Will Smith.
The same people he was using from
Okay, exactly. Cool. So long story short, he says, right? Is this just, like, amazing? Like, I love these conversations. I live for this work.
I'm
this
grateful.
Internal digging, yes. and acknowledgement, accountability.
From
and
the last communication. People you thought you would see this
right.
from.
So he said that he found out later that the reason his dad left, he was like, first of all, when I think back now as a grown man that is married with a wife and children, his dad married his mom, especially at a time where, like, people weren't necessarily marrying people. And they were together for 11 years. And his mom had two kids already. So he took in her two kids, still married her. They had their two kids. So they had four kids they raised together for 11 years. That's not someone who abandoned you. That's someone who struggled to stay in a relationship. Like, that's a whole different perspective that he now understands as a grown-ass man that is also struggling in his relationship.
Wow.
So sometimes you don't see the humanity in your parents until you reach an age where you're hitting the same challenges that they may have hit. But as a child, you just didn't see it that way. You saw it from a victimized perspective of, like, you left me.
Right.
So he learns now that his dad had lost his little brother. His younger brother was killed. I think he was shot.
Yeah.
And it made him fall into a really bad depression. It was something he couldn't shake, couldn't get out, couldn't get over. Understandably so. It's your sibling. So he was never able to shake off the depression, though. Yeah. And it was making him disconnect from his wife and the kids. And it was more so an embarrassment thing of, like, how can I live and deal with this hurt, but also, like, try to get through the day while in front of my kids and in front of my wife. And he felt that the best thing to do was to disconnect and disassociate. So it was his way of, like, not putting that burden on his wife and kids to have to see that he was destructive
and falling apart
because he didn't know how to deal with it. Because a lot of men, we've discussed, and people in general, but men too, you know, men especially, because right. the way society is set, don't have the tools for processing the range of their emotions. So they just ball it up or pretend it doesn't happen. Or, like he did, they disassociate. So he's like, he didn't know that. He didn't know that till now. And this whole time he was, like, hating him. Like, you left us not knowing that his dad just didn't know how to deal with his brother's death and didn't know how to be a dad and a husband while dealing with his brother's death.
Wow.
And he said, why didn't you just tell me? Like, that's all he kept saying. Jay-Z was like, yeah. I wish you had told me so I could have viewed it differently. I could have maybe been helpful, you know. And then that's when he was stressing the importance of communication and transparency and being honest with your family and your friends and people around you on the things that you're going through so that people can help and understand you. I mean, it was great. Like,
it
you guys have to watch
this. Changes
your
experience listening to the album.
Right.
Drastically. This makes it totally, it just shows the depth of that body of work because it's so complex and there's so many layers.
And
it's
so
just
relatable.
Oh,
and the fact that he said finally he understood his dad as a human. Mm-hmm. And he was like, now he felt like they could start a new life where now he wasn't like hating him, but he was understanding him as a man, as a human. And his dad dies.
Wow. Imagine the shift. Imagine that shift. That is such an unlocking of sorts.
Of course, it's a cycle. Like, you're breaking a cycle and that's why I tell people the importance of mental health and generational curses. And because what could have happened was that Jay-Z could have embodied all this pain and carried it in him, treated his kids differently because of it, created boundaries and walls and kind of like a distance, because you know he would carry this. That's what happens. Remember what I've said before, I don't think the devil is a person or a place. I think it's an energy you carry. And I think if you don't confront these things, you're going to continue to carry it. And then what happens? Your kids carry it.
You're right, because I'll be mad as hell.
Damn it, Dustin. I mean, literally, I think that ties into it. Why do we say that?
Hello. Ooh.
Why do you think we say that? Yeah. Look at you unlocking codes out here.
Woo, friend. Woo. This is an episode, baby.
No, but the fact to see Jay-Z saying that his dad died almost like in peace, like he was finally understood, and then Jay-Z now sees his dad differently. It's like that was an unlocking. That everything was a cycle being broken. And, ooh, I wish the world would do this.
Not for nothing, like, that's one of the things that I just love about artists, right? And I wish that there was more of, like, that was one of the reasons that I, like, kind of got into music, was to be able to document these stories of artists and to really go in depth on what their projects are and what they mean. Because sometimes people just think that, a singer is just a shallow person that gets up there and sings about whatever. Okay, sometimes that's the case. But like Jessie Reyes, for instance, another artist that I want to highlight, her whole project is Gatekeepers. And she's telling this story about how she couldn't just be some talented girl to make it in the industry, having this experience of, you know, people trying to get her for sex and saying, you know, that's how girls make it. They just give it up. The fact that she put out a visual like telling these stories and explaining these things, like, and I don't feel like all artists should have to do that. But sometimes when you get to see that other side and where they're coming from, it's almost like it makes it way more relatable. They become another level of real to you. And like Jay-Z's always been like the realist already. So like when I saw the first video with Jesse Williams and all the guys talking about their vulnerabilities, I remember thinking like, damn, this is some cool ass shit. Like,
amazing.
And then to hear that he gets even realer than real with this whole project.
Everyone listening, I don't care if you have to get your grandmother's title login, whoever's you can get, you have to watch at the Adness footnotes.
You have to.
It is just, it just made me happy because really this is my life's work. This like,
seriously,
this is my life's work. Just getting people to break these cycles so that we can stop trickling them down and bring in passing them on. That epigenetics episode that we did months ago, that like affected my brain when I saw the science of consciousness. Like, that is my life work. So shout out to 444 for bringing these. I'm just so excited.
The gift that keeps on giving.
And I'm wondering, like, what's next? Like, a lot of people are saying he should retire now, which I can understand in a way. It's like, this could be, like, this is great. What more could he do?
It's such an album of completion.
Right.
So I see why people have that perspective. I totally see it.
But I'm also curious, like, now that he's pulled these conversations out, it doesn't necessarily have to be an album.
Right.
But I feel like, there's a lot to unpack with these conversations. I mean,
he literally just peeled the surface back.
So I'm curious.
I'm excited. I feel like here we fucking go.
And I'm happy for men. I have to be really honest. I'm happy for y'all. I'm happy for y'all to have someone that almost everybody finds super cool, to see that like he is at the leading edge of these conversations and reminding you to heal and confront and, you know, and ooh, just beautiful. This is like Hey Jay Hayes wellness retreat. Wellness retreat.
It's wonderful, man. I've never been more proud to stand at a urinal. I'm telling you. When we doing this work, it just makes me proud.
Yeah. But that's it. Sorry, I had to just
No. No, honestly, I think that's
so important. I wish people were talking
about
it.
No, I'm glad that you brought it back up, because there's just like a, I feel like a loss of respect almost, or a loss of the art of doing these visuals. And I think it's dope that Jay-Z has this on a digital platform. But I hope they, like, he sells this to a network and lets them show
it. Should be
like
on
if they
TV.
Aired on BET or
maybe
Centric
TRL?
Or something. Or something. Like, I hope they have a block and they do that. And even more so, I hope Jay-Z makes this, like, regular content. Like, if he has some artists that he wants to know their stories and, like, does, like, footnotes behind it, and they all, like, have to go through these conversations and shit to be like, okay, this is, like, a sweet spot in our community. We need to get to the bottom of this and debunk some of this. So.
What we have now deserves to be a special on primetime network television. It deserves to be on ABC,
absolutely.
NBC, Fox, CBS.
I was just saying black networks.
Primetime.
But
what I will say is I would like it to be, I don't know, I just don't want it compromised by censorship of any sort.
True.
So maybe HBO.
Like, right.
I don't know.
Stars.
You know what I'm saying?
And they already have a relationship with HBO because Beyonce's tour videos and her little
docu-series.
Turn
these footnotes into a series instead of Punk Ass Confederate. Great switch. Moving along.
Wonderful switch. Wonderful. I mean, I really just don't feel like I need to go through anybody else on music just because Jay-Z's kind of, you know, Jay-Z.
Right.
But just hashtag playlist pledge. Several playlists available all the way from March up until August. August Rush is the latest one that's been released. Artists featured on August Rush have been previously featured on other projects as Jesse Reyes, who I keep on saying. I also wanted to do a bunch of Ty Dolla Sign songs on there because he's been featured on a bunch of shit. So there's the Love You Better track where he has Lil Wayne and The Dream. I also featured Smino. I think he's on tour with Chance the Rapper. And I forgot the young lady's name that's opening.
I thought he was on tour with... No. I was going to say SZA, but it's not SZA.
Oh, or maybe...
That's Black. Black is on tour with SZA, I think.
You know what? Let me just go on ahead and hit the internet up before everybody and their mama tells me.
Well, what did they do with Mild?
Jesus Christ.
So, yo, loudspeaker, and you get know what me sucks? Some cymbals in this studio, please.
Oh, you know what sucks? That his name is Black, and it's spelled with a six, so I never know if I'm supposed to call him Black or like Six Slack.
Or
right, people always be saying other shit, and I'm like, I don't, is that
Six Slack?
Six Black? Six Slack? I don't, what is the Black? Anyway.
You know these kids these days, this creative spelling.
That is a whole nother conversation. Because we should revisit that, because I want to talk
names
about signed
sentences now.
We need to come back to this on signed, the signed corner, the show.
Oh,
because there was an episode
watched.
Where The Dream got at one of the artists about his name. Like, The Dream was saying, the artist's name was Cozy with the Curls, and The Dream was like, that name is stupid. You need a new name. Like, don't nobody like that name. Like, nobody, it's not going to ever be Jay-Z featuring Cozy with the Curls or whatever, because that's
I
your name.
Disagree.
I heavily disagree when he
Cozy
said that
with
shit.
The curls.
I find it highly ironic coming from someone lame, literally The Dream.
The Dream. I was so shocked that he, and he was like, dead set, I'm like, yeah, you need to change your name, bro. And I'm like,
because
what?
He comes from a different time, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, artists now love, Boogie with the Hoodie. You know, and then
A Boogie with the Hoodie.
A Boogie
right.
with the Hoodie. Like, people have like
Chance the Rapper.
They have sentences. Right. Like, that's kind of the in thing now.
And it's cool to me.
Yeah, like,
I'm
remember
mad
when,
at it.
When rock bands all came out and they were all the
Well, I think The Weeknd for me is the one that kind of set that off. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I first heard it, I was like, his name is The Weeknd? I was like, that's his
name?
Well,
even before that, though, with, like,
rock
bands.
And it ended up being the coolest shit ever.
Because, you know, that goes back to, like, The Beatles. And so it was like a bring back. But for a rapper to be the somebody, it was like, oh, okay. Well, not rapper.
Well, because it's one person.
Right.
So he's The Weeknd. You're thinking it's a band.
Right.
And then when you go to see... And then if you remember his covers for his mixtapes, it's like White Girls with Balloons and shit. I'm like, okay. It's
right.
like a white band.
The graph, it is just so
trilogy
cool
and those. Yeah,
he was
I did
smart.
Love those.
He is smart because you didn't know who it was, how many people, and then you finally saw him. You're like, oh shit, that's
you
him.
Know what? Cat, this is off topic, but on, and it'll be very brief. I promise. Cassie had a series of mixtapes that someone made. It was almost like a fan made them. And it was three. Baby. It was three of them that looked like the artwork for the Weeknd's mixtapes. And they were all of her unreleased tracks. If anybody is a Cassie fan that listens to this show and you have that project, please email that to me at lookatdustin@gmail.com. I need that. It was a fan made compilation of like all her unreleased music, but it was like three different projects.
She had that much?
Yes, Cassie's got tons. I mean, she ain't got. Didn't she got way more unreleased than released. Yeah,
Love a Loser.
Love a Loser, and I love. Yeah,
I like
good.
The song.
I haven't heard.
I just don't like the rap or the feature.
Oh. It's G Easy and Cassie.
Speaking of G Easy, he has a song with Wale called Fashion Week. Have you heard
it's
it?
It's a jam.
That beat?
Yeah, it goes like completely off.
That beat, like I want the Sean instrumental.
Ross, shout out to Sean Ross. He's in that video.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's
Yo,
dope.
That beat is crazy. Every time I hear it, it just it gives me that old school 90s feeling when you get hyped when a beat comes on. I haven't felt that way in a long time.
Like you getting off the train, going to the club.
So New York.
Like you get off the train, going to the club.
But
like,
I just want the instrumental.
Yeah. It's hot. The beat is hot. Okay. The beat is hot. Are you done with music? Because before you end, just let me know.
I'm definitely not done. It just keeps getting longer and longer. But this is good. We just have to have another music episode is what I'm just learning because we got a lot to cover. I just want to dial back and correct myself. You were correct. Smino is on tour with SZA and Raven Lanae.
Right.
That's what I was trying to think about.
They got a liquor sponsor?
I only knew because of the flyer. I remember seeing his name.
Smirnoff is on tour with SZA?
Smino. Smino Brown is what his...
Smirnoff got brown liquor now? They are really, shout out to expanding your brand, your portfolio.
So Smino dropped a project earlier this year called Black Swan, and I featured him a couple different
nice
times.
Title.
And he takes the vowels out, so it's just BLK SWN, right? Of course. You know, see, everybody got to do all this stuff. I'm telling you, they just got.
People make fun of us for no avocado song. Toast and shit. We just got to be different.
I'm going to just say this. Check out August Rush. I put the new Ray Sherman on there, Perplexing Pegasus, because that was the shit.
A new project?
Yeah, yeah, just a new single right now. But you know,
yo, those kids be working.
Swae Lee brought a new pet monkey, and I've been following him on Twitter and just stalking him and that monkey.
A
I don't
pet
know
monkey? Yes. He has his own Twitter?
Yeah. Swae Lee and... the other one, they each a separate entity.
Oh, no. I thought you meant the monkey had a Twitter.
Oh.
And then you were following it. I was like, okay. Yeah.
No, I only started following Swae Lee because of his monkey. So the monkey might as well have a
Twitter.
Is
that right?
You know what?
You know what, friend? I'm going to take that.
I keep telling y'all, please, Loudspeakers Network, give me some cymbals in this studio. I keep telling y'all, please. And not no sound effect. Look, I want the instrument.
You know what, friend? I'm going to take that. Okay? I'm going to take that.
I'm going to take that.
Oh, my God. Yes, you are.
I'm glad there are no cameras in here either.
Woo, y'all. Welcome to the friend zone.
Put Designer on there. He partnered with Miramasa and did All Around the World. I've been killing that track. And also Tyler, the Creator. I couldn't stop listening. He's on there. I also featured Ella Mai. She's a London artist. Ella, E-L-L-A, and then M-A-I.
M-A-I, yeah.
So just check out August Rush. A little something for everybody. And, before we end the music segment, Dustin, you had one more thing that you wanted to cover?
Candy Burris was on IG Live tonight. Y'all not going to see this. I'm telling you, Candy was on IG Live in the studio with Remix the Sway God,
mm-hmm.
that did Beans Greens, the guy that did the first one. That we
oh,
hooked.
My God.
She had him in the studio. She had a couple people in there. When I tell you they were making hits that stick, like grits, they played this beat and it was the first time Candy heard it and she started freestyling, singing I Ain't Gonna Lie to You or something. It was a hit.
Yes,
I just shout out to Candy Burris and her talent. That's all. And Free Tay-K, shout out to everybody from Houston or from Dallas, everybody from Texas. They know who Tay-K is, a little 17-year-old rapper with a dope little project.
Yeah,
but he in trouble right now, so Free Tay-K.
Free
the
Tay-K.
Texas listeners gonna feel that.
Oh,
Free Tay-K.
Oh, and last person I wanted to mention, Tone Stith. Have you ever heard of this young man?
Mm-mm.
Tone Stith can sing. He dropped a project called Can We Talk? I featured a couple songs on there. Oh My Gosh is one of the songs, and the other song is Get It Right. But he is a young little singer.
How do you spell his last name?
Stith, it's S-T-I-T-H. And then Tone, T-O-N-E.
Got it. Looking it up.
And Tone.
He better not be tone deaf. God. I know that.
Definitely not. He look, the song is called Get It Right, and he got it right.
Have I'll to get it wrong just to get it right.
It's the song. I'm like, okay, there you go, singing something. I haven't been running into a lot of R&B genres that I've been feeling, even though Luke James did just drop a new song.
Oh, shit, everybody's dropping. Where everybody's have I been? Dropping.
People is back. So go check that out. August Rush. Let your boy know what you're feeling off the list and let him know what you don't like. Oh, and Bay East is on there too. How could I forget Bay East, the song with Chris Brown? Let's take it on over to TV Land.
Okay, so let's make this quick. Last week we did not have TV Land segment, but don't think I forgot because we're going to talk about the Basketball Wives reunion. Before I get it, I'm not going to go into detail, go back and forth. It's really not worth it. I just have a couple of quick points that I want to highlight. Number one, Malaysia Pargo, I'm a huge fan of you on this show. I believe that you have a place in that cast, but baby, you got to do the work that it takes to earn the spot that you've been given. You're a full-time cast member on that show. They brought you back mid-season and still gave you the title of full-time cast member because it's what you deserve, but you brought literally nothing to the show other than your beautiful face, your great fashions. You know, we appreciated seeing all of that, but where's the Malaysia that we met and fell in love with season one, episode one, when you were kicking Laura Govan's ass? Well deserved. And deservedly so. That's why it was good. It wasn't because you were fighting. We were happy to see you defending yourself, and you've been a champion of the underdog your entire career on Basketball Wives. Why are you siding with Jackie Christie? Why? I'm just, Malaysia, you figure it out. Get back to me. Jennifer Williams, you came back to the fold. Yes, we're glad to see you back, but you stake your claim as an original. You should not have been sitting on the couch with all the rest of those girls in that sequin gown. That was too much. You shouldn't have done that. You had on a blue sequin gown that looked like the rivers and the lakes that you were used to, okay? We were tired of it. Jennifer, next time, make them give you the recognition you deserve. Don't sit out there with the new girls. Wait right. And be introduced and walk out onto the stage right. And sit with the yes. People who are full-time cast members. Switch that up. Sania. I don't have nothing bad to say because I fell in love with you when you beat up Hazel and her friend for coming to that party to start drama with you, and you shut it down at the gate.
Shut down her story.
I mean, that is really, you know what I'm saying? That is really...
Hazel E?
No, it might as well be, baby. Different show, same person. I would also like to say, Tammy Roman, what happened? What happened to Tammy on the reunion? Did she style herself? Did she, was she, what happened?
Who was your favorite?
What happened to Tammy Roman on the reunion?
What'd she That's have
what
on? I want to know.
What didn't she have on? She had on a navy wrap dress, a collared navy wrap dress, pretty dress.
Yeah.
She had on a blonde wig that looked like, I don't even know how to describe it. It looked like.
I'm waiting.
It just was. It looked like baby's bad breath. That's what the wig looked like. It looked, I don't even know how to, it just wasn't, it should not have been, it literally, you know what it was? It was a misplaced wig. It literally should not have been there. Her wig should not have been there. It was out of place. So let's do that. Shawnee O'Neal, you did this, what you normally do, which is ride the fence and never really commit to anything while passive-aggressively throwing dig after dig at those who are not savvy enough and swift enough to catch you on it and check you on it. You want to be an executive producer, and I think that's great. I applaud those efforts. But, baby, once you step onto that stage, you're a cast member, and you're not going to be able to say anybody else is a bitch if they can't call you a fat one back. So if you don't want to participate in slinging the mud, get away from the pig, Shawnee. That's all I have to say about that. Evelyn Lozada is back. I understand the importance of your image, growth, evolution, all those things. I applaud it. But, Evelyn, we liked you because you were mean and nasty and testy. And we like, and you dressed nice. That's why we liked you. So you're going to have to, if you expect us as viewers and fans to make room for your growth, you're going to have to also leave some room for your nope. Okay? We want some of that bad behavior when it's well-deserved. Now, the thing about it, this is a season where you could have successfully done those things and gotten away with them because you were wronged in front of everyone. We all saw what Jackie said about your daughter. Mm. We all saw, and by the way, those of you who used the argument, oh, Evelyn said it first when she told her to take care of her grandkids. Guess what? Jackie needed to take care of her grandkids. And there's something different than saying take care of your grandkids and saying your ugly grandkids or something like that.
Or your daughter's a build-a-whore.
That's wrong. Exactly my point. That's the difference between what Evelyn said and what Jackie did say. So I'm definitely on Evelyn's side. Evelyn was right in all of this. Jackie is lying about everything that's going on with her daughter. I believe every word that her daughter's putting in the press. And I believe it because let's not forget, seasons ago, Jackie's other fast-ass, arrogant-ass, rude-ass, disrespectful-ass daughter, Shani, came on that show and sat with another cast member who was feuding with her mama and talked about how her mama couldn't stand her sister and the things that she did to that sister while they were growing up. So this ain't nothing new for those of us that have been watching. Mm-hmm. And Jackie's getting exactly what she deserves. Let me loop on back around the couch to Jackie. First of all, turn around. What makes you think it's okay and appropriate for you to be sitting with your back up on the arm of the couch like that? Who do you think you are? What? Looking like you got on. She looked like she was at a beauty shop in the Wild Wild West. That cape she had on, it looked like a smock that they put around you at the salon. But in the Wild Wild West with them embellishments on it, she looked terrible. It looked like she looked like Liberace was finna do her hair. That's what it looked like. Jackie, and shout out to James Caldwell, who was hilarious on YouTube and said she looked like she was on Game of Thrones. But Jackie Christie is terrible. What did she have?
She looked like
she had on
Darth Vader. She looked like Darth Vader.
No, she did.
She looked pretty.
You know
what?
He was right about that. She looked like she could have served on the Night's Watch.
Fran, that was spot on. She had on a Lego.
Think about it, Fran. That was spot on. That Game of Thrones reference.
He's a Lego weave.
Now you know her old ass. You know why you talking about? Yeah, that's what it looked like. That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like. I'm telling you. Look it up. The receipts are on VH1. And furthermore, Jackie gonna sit and now what she did was, you know, and let me start here. And again, I'm gonna try to make this as quick as possible. Y'all gotta stop being lazy with what y'all applaud. Jackie didn't do nothing on that stage but talk loud and over everyone who was saying more
That's
important
production,
things.
Man.
Shawnee gets on my nerves, but when Shawnee leaned her nostrils up and pointed them at Jackie Christie, and she said, Jackie, I'm not talking about Christmas. I don't care about what you did for Christmas. I'm talking about you being at the hospital. When Shawnee said that to Jackie, she was 100% right. Her nostrils were too. Everything. So I just, the Basketball Wives LA reunion, it just, for me, I don't know, it was a tough pill to swallow.
It was one episode, right? Like, that's
it? Yeah, that's all it needed to be. That's all it needed to be.
Production was slack on that. You noticed they didn't introduce nobody. They didn't change nothing around.
The whole season felt like it had, you know, like they had ran out of scotch tape and just used Band-Aids. That's what it felt like the whole season. It was horrible. So that's all I want to say about that. Power has been so good to watch. I don't want to say, Asante, you have not seen the most recent episode, right? Something's going to happen that you don't think is going to happen.
Like,
and it's going to make you resent a lot of characters. But when I tell you, shout out to Naturi Naughton, who is going to be acting next week, because when she was in that car on the previews for next week, screaming at Ghost, and what she was saying to him, that's exactly what someone in her position would have done and said and in that way. And those of you who know what I'm speaking of, who actually saw this most recent episode, I'm sure
so
you agree.
Tight.
I hate Tariq.
I don't think I've ever hated a child on the show.
I do. And I also want to give...
Pop them.
Me too. I want to get that belt and make them little pants hot. And I also want to give a shout out.
I feel bad for the actor, low-key, because you know people on the street must hate it.
You need to quit doing so good. I don't care. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I want to give a shout out to Tommy, because Tommy made me bust out laughing on this episode, friend, when he went to see Keisha, when he went to see Lala. Asante gonna die.
Oh, God.
He goes to see Lala, and he's pulling up on her. And this is a spoiler, but not really a spoiler. He's pulling up on her in the car trying to get her attention, and she's still walking. And he says, hey, I ain't never seen you move that fast.
Oh, yeah.
Love and Hip Hop about to come on. When I tell you. I lost it. And really quick, one last thing I wanted to say is the lady who worked for the police or whatever was going to give Angela this appointment or this new job, she was the actress from Dave Chappelle's When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong skit that said, I don't want anybody playing on my phone. That was her.
How do you
and so
that?
As soon as she came on the screen, I saw it and it just sent me, okay? It sent me flying.
I can't believe she's going
to
be on there.
So that is going to make you laugh. I can't watch those scenes. All I think about is her saying, oh, bitch, please. Use a bitch and so's your aunt. After the girl said it was a wrong number. I was trying to call my aunt. So That was funny for me. There's so many more things on TV that I could discuss, but I just wanted to talk about those.
You're not going to talk about Love and Hip Hop Hollywood?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Not. So the only thing that I will say is I think that alcoholism is nothing to play with, and I really resent the fact that Cisco... what's his last name? What's Cisco's last name?
Oil, vegetable
I don't know
oil.
His last name, but whatever Cisco. His last name is, I don't like how they're playing with Tierra Marie's alcoholism, and I feel like Monique Slaughter and Nia Riley are making genuine, sincere efforts to get their girl some help. That's not for the cameras. One thing about Monique, she's passionate.
Tierra's battling alcoholism on the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Cisco said that he helped by taking her to, you know how they do them vitamin infusion IVs?
Mm-hmm.
He took her to one of them, talking about it's the first step, it ain't gonna make her want to drink.
He said a 24-hour...
You know, like the hangover thing you get.
Right.
That ain't rehab.
And then he dressed it up and called it like a sobriety center or something. Like,
to me, he was playing for the cameras. Right. And that's not nothing that you play with, because those girls were literally trying to help Tierra Marie. So that just kind of set the tone for me. Hazel E has completely gotten on my nerves.
Oh, my God.
And it used to be just the way she looked. Now it's her actions, too. I can't take anymore. You know what I'm saying? Hazel E has really just... It's like she's on this quest to prove herself as worthy of everybody's approval when, number one, that doesn't matter anyway, but number two, we never would give it to you anyway because you're not bringing nothing to the table. And her boyfriend's name is Rose Burgundy. I just can't. I'm done. So, no,
like
hell no,
name.
I don't have nothing to say.
He should be my boyfriend.
That's a
and
cool
there
ass
you
name.
Have it. I don't have nothing to say about the show other than it's so funny to me.
I just realized.
It's so, right? Welcome on. Hello? Is it that you were searching for?
So you're just going to give me that for Christmas or what?
I think it's so funny how Love and Hip Hop puts these stars in the forefront of their cast and then allows them to create certain boundaries when they're filming. Because it's almost like you're watching two different shows. You can tell that Keisha Cole's contract is so ironclad.
Tough.
They only show her in certain lights. You know what I mean? Only show her filming certain ways. While the other people are literally rolling in the mud with pigs.
Wow.
So I just...
Bridget Kelly debuts next week.
Oh, does she? Good. More legitimacy.
That. Shout out to Bridget.
And her talent.
I saw her tweet next week's her debut. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Shout out to Bridget Kelly.
Yes, excited to hear what you guys say about it. Right?
Love Bridget Kelly.
That's all I got, y'all.
Now we move on to see what you guys want to ask us about. What you got for us today in Asking for a Friend, Asante.
All right. Don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com and send us all your questions, comments, and concerns. This one comes from, or the subject is, rather, Judgmental Jonathan. In the spirit of digging deep, Dustin insert joke here, LOL, how do you move past feelings of judgment towards others and yourself? I've noticed that oftentimes when I meet people, the first thing I do is A, mentally note down a judgment of that person, often from a shallow and unproductive place, or B, I believe that person is making some form of judgment about me. While I'm aware that a lot of this stems from my own self-image, I'm finding it hard to stop, and sincerely, I want to stop from the bottom of my heart. I just want to be chill and move forward in a way that feels more truthful to my spirit. As Fran would say, more easeful. So do you guys have any tips in regards to moving away from a judgmental frame of mind and towards a more positive self-image? Basically, I'm on defensive mode.
Tips? Yeah, I think that it's a good starting point to try to create something in your life that brings you a sense of confidence, maybe. So maybe if you join an organization or you start maybe like a sport or like an activity, you know what I mean, that you can commit yourself to, where you can get that feeling of accomplishment, that'll build up your confidence somewhat. And that will affect the way that you feel when you meet people. It's very easy to feel intimidated by the prospect of meeting people, especially when it's for like when you're networking or when you're trying to make friends and that's not something that comes natural to you, you do feel like you're under the light, so to speak, or you're on display and up for being judged. But if you're doing things that will instill confidence in you, it'll make that experience a little less awkward and more comfortable for you. So maybe you should start there. Do things to instill confidence in yourself. Legitimize maybe some of your talents or hobbies or your likes, you know, turn them into something profitable. Do something so that you can have that moment where you feel proud of yourself, and it'll make it better or easier for you when you are in those situations where you have to encounter people. And it'll make you less judgmental of other people because you learn a lesson through the struggle. So do some work, homie.
I think you're already off to a great start. Because I've said it before, the definition, in my opinion, of an enlightened person is someone who's aware. It's not so much what you've read, conversations you've had, or how much of the Bible you know, or what country you travel to for an ashram, but it's the fact that you can sit here and are clearly accountable for how you're judging others, how you're judging yourself. And to me, that's an incredible start, because there are some people that do it daily and don't even see it. They are just so used to it, and it's just a way of life for them. So be compassionate with yourself that you've taken this first step of, like, I see this, and I don't like how it makes me feel. That's already huge, because there's only up from here. You know, you're stretching yourself. Now it's time to, like, figure out how to overcome that challenge. The second thing I would suggest is, once again, speaking from personal experience, the only time I'm looking around is if I have nothing to look forward to. So I would suggest, like Dustin said, there's more that needs to be in your schedule. The reason you have time to look around is because there's a fulfillment that's missing.
Yes, friend.
You're not waking up in the morning feeling like, ah, I'm excited to do X, Y, and Z. Because when you're excited and have... And this doesn't even have to be like a specific job. It can be, you know, rebuilding a connection with family. Like when you have goals and you have a day full of things that, the things to do, just that simple. The people around you, not that they're irrelevant, but you don't have as much time to worry about what they are and aren't doing to even judge them. Because you have a day full of amazing things to do and you have to get them done before you go to sleep. It's really that simple. So that's my advice.
So for me, one of the things that I've been struggling with for a very long time is my own fear of not being enough. And I had to train myself to teach myself to take care of myself how I would take care of someone else. So like, as much as some people want to like get a man or do X, Y, and Z, I would say, like, do I feel like I'm in a position to do any of this? How much of this stuff am I doing for myself before I want to bring somebody else into the picture and have them do it? So the fact that you can sit and look and say, you know, you're judging people and it's not productive, don't carry that weight anymore. It's a daily process to really look at, but look at everything every time you've judged somebody and ask yourself, like, well, why am I judging them? Why am I even taking note of this? Why am I carrying this? And eventually you're just going to stop doing that, because there's no point and putting labels on people if it's one interaction that you may never have again, or even to give it weight because they might not be interested in like being negative. They might want to have a positive interaction with you, but here you are, you know, passing judgment and you're shutting that down. So you're making the situation hard for no reason, because, and you're also being unproductive, as you said, and you're just wasting time. So I think that if you want to take better care of yourself, treat people how you want to be treated and treat yourself the way that you want to be treated. When you're having your self-talk, be like, you know, what words do I know will make me feel good when I'm talking to myself about certain things? And use those words when you're talking to other people. You know, of course, they have to earn that and keep that. If people are disrespecting you, not disrespect them back, but just don't deal with them anymore. Don't sit up here and judge them and be like, oh, this reaffirms this, and make a file and have paperwork for no fucking reason. It's your life. You have to live it. So do the things that make you feel good. Judging people doesn't make you feel good, so don't judge people. Thinking about other people's shit don't make you feel good, so don't think about it. Do for yourself.
And what fruit does judgment bear?
Come on, friend.
Fruit you flies.
Literally.
Oy vey.
Hopefully that helps somehow.
Hopefully something stuck.
Now all we have to do is jump into this week's Black Business. No, you didn't. Black Business. I wanted to shout out our friend Vok.
Shout out.
Right. Shout out to our big brother Vok. He just opened a new spot in Brooklyn called the Brooklyn Wing House. And right. I love it. First of all, the menu is incredible. They have
what kind of wings that got?
They got smoked barbecues.
Ooh. Is lemon pepper on the list?
Sweet chili rum glaze. Ooh. Pineapple teriyaki, garlic parmesan crusted jerk wings, tamarind glaze, buffalo wings, mango Ciroc infused habanero, Do say infused and lemon pepper. Those are the flavors.
I'm there. You said things I didn't even know existed that I love.
Fried mac and cheese balls, what? Fried chicken shrimp, and catfish and waffles.
Now that's a menu.
You guys just have to check out. And then for the healthy, those who are looking for healthier options, they actually have crispy tofu, like an 8-piece. He actually does a lot of things with tofu, which is really, really dope to me that he considered the different dietary restrictions in Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
And like I always say, I was saying earlier today, actually, on Twitter, it's dope that we highlight online businesses, but I think it's equally as important to highlight brick and mortar businesses in your neighborhoods, businesses on the ground, because we complain about gentrification, but this is how you buy the block, by supporting them, by keeping them in business, by allowing them, helping them to thrive, spreading the word, keeping them in motion so they can hopefully turn it into a franchise or a chain. And I'm excited. This is an amazing first step for Vok and his team. Their Twitter, if you want to check it out, is BK Wing House, and they have the full menu on there, the address. If you guys want to go, actually, I'll tell you the address. It's 1218 Union Street, Brooklyn. Check them out. Support. Shout out to Vok and the team.
Yes.
And actually, I think it'd be fun if we actually highlight for the next couple weeks brick and mortars. Because I already have like three that I've been put on.
I just had
onto.
A card. I was like.
Yeah, I've been put on to a couple that are really cool, really awesome businesses in New York and Brooklyn specifically. But obviously, if you guys have businesses that you've put to the test, that you know they're reliable.
Yes.
Because we're not just going to highlight black business just because it's black. Right. But black business that is doing well and thriving so that we could send them the traffic. Hit us up. Let us know in the emails. Tweet us. And be like, hey, this is a black business in my neighborhood that, you know, would need the support from you guys.
And number men don't count. FYI. Put that in the FAQs.
So that's it. That's it for this week's show. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
I will in a couple weeks. I have something really cool to announce.
Okay.
Looking forward to that.
Smirk, smirk.
Okay, I have two things, actually. First and foremost, I want to give a special shout-out. I should have done this at the top of the episode. To Spoken. That's S-P-O-O-K-K-U-N with the underscore.
Sanin? How do you say it? Sanin?
Sanin. Sanin.
Sanin.
Like, so basically, what's Sanin? What's Sanin?
What's Sanin?
First and foremost, I almost walked out to something like that in the live show. We'll get back to that. shout out. She drew the three legendary Sanin from Naruto.
So cool. Mine had big boobs. I appreciate the
Yes,
boobs.
And you know what? That's one of her things on there. Actually, she's really old, but because she focuses all her energy. Like, she's
on her third eye?
Part of her jutsu, sorry, I don't even know I'm about to do all this. Part of her jutsu is she can store all this reserved energy, and it's like right there in her third eye, but it's shaped like a diamond. And whenever she's
whenever she's
out of energy from fighting and shit, she can activate that reserved ass energy.
Oh my god,
and keep
this is
the fuck
perfect.
Going.
You Trina.
And they each have summoning animals and jutsus, and she summons slugs, but they're like they're healthy slugs. Like they heal during battle. There's like groupthink with the slugs. So if she wants to send out a bunch, like the big ass slug will break down into a bunch of slugs and distribute their energy, and she could ESP.
Okay, this is like freaking me out.
It's a dope ass, like a whole bunch of shit. So anyway, between her, damn, what was her name? I can't believe I fucking forgot. I'm going to come back to her. Oh, Tsunade. Lady Tsunade, Orochimaru. And
Dustin
Jiraiya.
Has a tongue.
Yes, Orochimaru. He's dope because he does regeneration and snakes and shit, and he does all this testing. He learns all the jutsus.
Oh, I do prevention work.
You do what?
Prevention work. You said I do all this testing.
No, you do a bunch of lab testing because you learn all the jutsus. Like, you literally have learned all of them.
So I'm like
Mori.
I do DNA testing, lab testing.
You do, Yes.
You do
lab testing. You do market research for ninjas and shit. Like, you make sure that all they fighting shit is up to speed, and you have one of the best fighting styles. So it's bomb as fuck. But people were debating that you should have been
Jiraiya.
Jiraiya was who I was, but people were debating you should have been Jiraiya and I realized after, because they called him the Pervy Sage.
The Pervy.
He writes these adult novels, and he also just has like a very adult sense of humor.
I don't want to be Zane.
Well, no, for a...
I'm sorry, Dustin. The court has decided.
Because he has a...
The gavel, like, I ain't heard a gavel.
He got a very adult sense of humor. So like, he peeks in on the girls at the hot spring.
Oh.
Like all sorts of shit. But it's like very tasteful.
I don't
tasteful.
Do that.
It's very tasteful. They don't do it to like, he's a super perv. Like, it's just something that they do funny
How
on the
hell
show.
Is
it's
being
funny.
Pervy tasteful, Asante.
Tasteful for
Nigga,
Asians.
You just said it was tasteful. Yeah. Well, they peeking in on them, about... on them.
You know, for them, for that culture and that storyline
oh,
and all
God,
that.
This
it, you know,
terrible.
Out of context, I can't make it work. But okay. I can't give you enough context quick enough. So right. I'm gonna just move forward.
Oh, these are cute.
Well, thank you.
So I wanted to just go
What's
ahead.
What's it called?
So that's Naruto. But Spokun or Spokun. It's Spokkun underscore. Thank you so much for the drawings.
Thank you so much. I want to frame mine.
Me too. The fuck. So basically, I haven't told this idea out in public very yet, but. Mm-hmm. Before I get to the idea, I want to work with a bunch of different artists, and I want to commission a bunch of pieces, and I want to like have pieces of me as my favorite characters. Or
cute. I told you, you got to hit up Marcus.
Definitely want to commission a piece
Marcus!
From him.
So
shout out to Marcus.
What
Prime.
I want to do overall is at the end of the year, maybe not this year, maybe next year. I want to have a comic book, and it'd be like my life like wrapped up into like a 15 or 20 page issue of a comic book. And
that
it'll be like my
so
private
cool.
collection. It'll be like me and my friends, and I'll let you guys read it.
That's
and all
cute.
That shit. Just have my own private comics. So, yeah, that's something that I want to do. And that's pretty much it over here. Outside of the fact that I will not be at Afropunk this weekend, because I will be in L.A. with Kid Fury for the first 305 Live L.A. Go to KidFuryLive.com for tickets. It's on Sunday, August 27th. And it is from 2 to 6.
That's going to be a good time, L.A.
Come out and see us. We're going to turn the fuck up. If you can't make it out there in L.A., I hope y'all in New York for motherfucking Afropunk.
Right. And speaking of Afropunk, we will be seeing you this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's the 26th and the 27th. Hopefully you got your tickets already, because from what I heard, the weekend is sold out.
Hope you got it covered
right?
for the weekend.
At least I know for sure. I know for sure Saturday is, but
and
maybe
that's after that release, they re-released some tickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, I get it. That lineup is incredible. SZA, Solange, Sampha,
Willow Smith,
Anderson.
Yes, Willow's
oh,
gonna be
that's
there.
Right.
And they've done Afropunk before.
Sissy Houston gonna be an Afropunk. She gonna get on stage and say, "What in the hell is going on? What in the hell is going on?"
On that note, thank you guys for
Stay
listening.
Black and protect your magic.
Bye.